best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and Celine.
It's the news junkie for a Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. Lots to get to today. From will Omicron screw up your travel plans, to the world's first living robots are reproducing, and will Chris Cuomo be fired by CNN? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
How we doing?
And hello to you. You can join us on the show today, as always. Come out of the woods and send us a dispatch. Your first ever is really, really encouraged today. And be funny, be good, be interesting. Whatever you got to do, send it over from the News Junkie app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now. How's everybody doing on a Tuesday?
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
You're a little throaty?
I'm a little throaty today.
A little throaty.
A little bit throaty today, as you could tell.
It happens.
But making it through, so let's just jump right in. Let's put our ears to the ground, our fingers on the pulse on a Share the Show Tuesday.
I knew it.
My brain is a fog today. It's a Share the Show Tuesday, so you can get out there, be an evangelist for the show. Tell everybody about the News Junkie Radio Show. Send links around. Text your friends, your grandma. Your grandma is going to love this show, by the way. She will be a big, big fan day one. I could see this happening on a Share the Show Tuesday. So now let's put our ears to the ground, our fingers on the pulse, and let's go over to Portland, Maine, in a news anchor. Her name is Lauren Healy, and she was doing a report on, well, everybody's doing this right now as we get into December. The Christmas tree lighting. Everybody goes to these stupid things. They have a big giant Christmas tree. They light it up and people clap or whatever.
It's beautiful.
It's like the Christmas vacation moment, you know, when you plug in the tree and the tree lights up. Mm-hmm. And we know how local news works. When you're doing a story like this, you probably have some database, some bank of footage, and you search for Christmas tree lighting, and then you put the footage in the background as she talks about this. Here's the problem. They grabbed the wrong Christmas tree lighting footage, and I'll describe this for all you who are just listening. Here she goes.
Holiday tree in Monument Square. Folks gathered in downtown
Portland. Here's the video.
To celebrate the lighting.
That's not the right Christmas tree lighting.
Oh. not that video right there, but this year's tree came from...
Muscle right through it.
Technically, it's lit.
They cut to a video of a Christmas tree lighting on fire.
Now, you gotta give her credit for stopping and saying something about it, because you usually complain. You're like, don't pretend like you didn't see that on fire Christmas tree.
No, she noticed this. She went right to it. That was a smart move. And she didn't get too kicked back by it.
Holiday tree in Monument Square. Folks gathered in downtown Portland.
Yeah, that's just a tree on fire right there.
It's like a recreation of what would happen to your house if the tree caught fire.
Yeah, it looks like
it's like some sort of video that the fire department puts out.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. It's like a little recreation of a home, and they put like a fake deer head on the wall, and it says home sweet home, and the Christmas tree is engulfed in flames, as it says holiday tree lighting in Monument Square. Obviously, not the right one.
Not that video right there, but this year's tree came
Look at
from
her go,
Epping
though.
Street in the Riverton area. And as always, it was nominated by a local family. People we spoke to had a great time at the event, even if they were split about the cold weather.
Look at that. She got right through
Rock
it.
Rockstar.
Not that thrown off. Good job, Lauren Healy.
I would have added, nobody caught on fire.
Yeah.
They had a great time. Nobody caught fire.
That, or I was prepared for you to show kind of a similar clip that we saw a few weeks ago, and I believe that's what got us in Facebook jail.
Mm-hmm.
Of God, thank God they didn't like mix that clip up with porn.
No. This one was just a tree on fire. And is that a big deal? Is there a lot of Christmas trees that get engulfed in flames?
I mean, it's. I feel like it's not as big of a deal for the people that I surround myself with, because none of us are real tree people.
Yeah, me either.
So, I mean, those things are probably still somewhat flammable, but not like a actual wooden tree.
Although I'm a little worried right now, because we Courtney threw out last year's fake tree because it just wasn't the right one. We got to get another tree. And so we went to go to Home Depot. My God, man.
Good time?
No, it was the worst. Home Depot, it was Black Friday, full of people, Christmas tree hunters everywhere. And they have all these Christmas trees on display.
You went to Home Depot on Black Friday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After, of course it was insane.
After yesterday saying that you think Black Friday's dead, nobody's doing Black Friday.
I didn't want to go, and I didn't want to get this Christmas tree there, but we did anyways, because we were going there for something else. We were going there for something not Black Friday related.
Power tools.
And we went over there, we were looking at all of the artificial Christmas trees, and you go, oh, this one's great. Look at this. This is like a $200. It's a beautiful pre-lit Christmas tree. And you go, let's get this one. And then you turn around and you see the boxes, and there's like three boxes left. You're just looking at the display trees right now. And then everybody's like fighting over them. There's people in all the aisles and stuff. It was pandemonium there. And so we leave, and on the way home I'm like, look for a Christmas tree on Amazon. And we look for one, and you get one of those situations where it's like, all right, it let you order the tree, maybe you'll get it around December 7th,
question mark.
And then that maybe that gets kicked back, and I'm like, are we gonna have a Christmas tree? Because she will freak out. Cordy will lose her mind if we don't get it. We're gonna have to get a real one. We'll have to go across the street and get an actual real one. And then, judging by this report, the house might burn down. I don't want
that
to happen.
Well, don't, you know, put anything flammable near it. Also saw a TikTok clip that I don't know how much it works. And I'm sure that there are some vets out there that would probably warn against it. But apparently this new trend is to traumatize your cat with the tree before putting it up. And then they won't mess with it once the decorations
are on it.
What, you
like take the tree and shake it in the cat's face?
Yeah, that's what the person was doing, just traumatizing their cat. That's a little fun tip for you in this holiday season.
There is, and this could be true. Somebody was saying, where was this? The chat's going by too fast. Insecure Walrus on Twitch says, LED lights have helped lower the fire risk in recent years, which makes sense. We used to have these weird lights. I don't know if you guys ever had these. My parents, the favorite ones that they had were these lights that went all the way around the tree, and then they had like a little tube coming up, and they bubbled. Did you guys ever have the bubble lights?
I've seen them.
They would get roaring hot.
Yeah.
Like, so hot.
Because that's how the bubbles work.
Right. It has to heat up to get the bubbles like boiling.
It's like surrounding your tree with 100 teeny tiny lava lamps.
Yeah. It's not a good idea. No. I don't know why we thought this was a smart thing to do. I'll tell you what could be a smart thing to do for you today. It's Giving Tuesday, everybody. Not just Share the Show Tuesday. Also, Giving Tuesday, which is the final day in November, or the final Tuesday in November, obviously.
Isn't it also the final day in November?
It's both. It happens to be both this time around. Americans gave $471 billion in 2020. The number one donor, as far as philanthropy and giving to charities. Who do you think it was in the United States of America?
Person or company?
Number one person, actual individual that donated the most.
Bill Gates' wife.
It is not Bill Gates.
Or his wife?
Who's his wife? What's her name?
Melania Mrs. Gates. Bill.
No, it wasn't her.
Jill Linda Gates.
Nope, Linda. Nope. Number one is a man. The number one person, charitable-wise, in the 2020 stats that they're giving here.
Who's Robert Pulte?
Nope, whoever that is, it's not Mr. Pulte.
It's the dude on Twitter that keeps going like,
I mean,
one of my retweeters is getting $1,000.
Not guy. You guys know this person.
Elon Musk.
Close.
Oh, Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos is number one with $10.2 billion, followed by Mackenzie Scott. Isn't that Bezos' ex-wife? I thought that's who that was.
I believe so, yeah.
Mackenzie Scott was number two with $5.7 billion, and Michael Bloomberg, number three for charitable givings, $1.6 billion. Why? Because it's a big, fat tax write-off. That's why. That's why a lot of these people do this. So they said that today's the day. There's lots of great charities out there. I'm sure you have your favorite, and if you have a day that you're going to do this, maybe now is the time. Another thing people are arguing about, and this seems silly, but about the way to pronounce Omicron, the new variant of COVID that maybe or maybe not came out of South Africa and is spreading around, and everybody's like freaking out. They're done counting cases. Now they're just counting these new Omicron cases. There's no reason to believe that this is any more deadly or dangerous or whatever, but it's our new thing and we're chasing it.
Well, we at least when Delta first started, they said it's not deadlier, but it's for lack of a better term, spreadlier.
Yeah, it is spreadlier.
They said
that's what the scientists said.
They said, the top scientists said this, that it was not going to harm you anymore, and the vaccine was still going to work against it, but it was just going to spread a lot faster. It was more communicable.
Right.
And I haven't heard anything about what puts Omicron apart from the others.
Well, there's a lot of suggestions that, oh, maybe there's going to be a problem with breakthrough cases, yada, yada. Nobody knows anything. It's just freakout mode. And it could affect your holiday travel. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But the first thing is how to say the damn thing, because the Brits are arguing that it's Omicron, and we're saying Omicron, and the president is saying Omicron.
Okay.
Here's Joe Biden.
The Delta variants. And now the Omicron.
The Omicron.
All emerged.
Oh, let's be honest. They all sound like Transformers. Each way that you pronounce it sounds like that. But this is already affecting flight bookings, according to some of the airlines out there. They think that there will be an impact. And of course there will be, because you got countries that are blocking travel. And
don't bother coming after Biden for adding an M or adding an N.
Come on,
to the word. When some of you people have been saying nuclear, adding an extra letter to that one for a long time.
And plus, Biden is saying this, just like everybody else, when this was just discovered on Wednesday of last week. So this is one of those things, like when somebody mocked me when I said meme one time, because I never said meme out loud. I saw somebody get roasted the other day because they said op instead of OP, talking about the original poster of content online. I'm like, how are we supposed to know how to say all this stuff?
And now the Omicron.
The Omicron. Well, this is spreading pretty quickly, they say. It doesn't look like there's anything crazy to be worried about here, but what the hell? I mean, if you've got a vacuum in the news cycle, people will start to lose their minds. The other big story is Chris Cuomo over at CNN. Some text, some information, some documents suggesting that he was very involved in the accusations against Andrew Cuomo, his brother, the former governor of New York. He helped him out through this process, even helped track down one of the accusers. Mm-hmm. Really bad behavior caught in this investigation here. And CNN is so far locked into, you know what? We're going to look at it. We're going to investigate this. So a lot of people now speculating over whether or not we have the end of Chris Cuomo on CNN. We'll get a little further into that as the show rolls on today. But I want to get to you, your dispatches. What is on your mind today? Send those in through the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. And something went on sale yesterday. And everybody went so nuts for this thing that it sold out almost immediately, right? And then people were selling it for thousands of dollars on eBay afterwards. What is it that's so hard to get right now and selling for thousands of dollars? When you hear this, it's going to blow your mind, and it's coming up next. So stay right there. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
The home of real talk and effective tools for self-care.
What is that sensation? It's called optimism.
Real Radio.
Happy end of November. I hate to bring you just a little bit of stressful news, but the rent is due tomorrow. That's right. The super high rent that you keep paying, you know, that landlord's mortgage that you're paying for instead of using that money towards your dream home. Now that we've all taken in that information, go to homeloansradio.com. Work with that mortgage guy, Don. Make your life a little bit easier and put some of that hard-earned equity where you can, you know, really use it. Your dream home, or maybe if you have your dream home already, refinancing and debt consolidation. And on top of it all, work with an expert who is part of the Real Radio family. And that's that mortgage guy, Don. Now, if you go to homeloansradio.com, you'll see it is chock full of information for you. Guides on how to get pre-approved, reliable mortgage information, all the past episodes of the Home Loans Radio Show, and my favorite part, direct access to that mortgage guy, Don himself, via live chat or email, or you could leave him a shout out and he'll answer your question live on the Home Loans Radio Show this weekend. But you got to get this process started by going where? Homeloansradio.com. Radio.
Occupying the space between high society and prison tattoos, this is The News Junkie.
You know, we keep seeing this over and over, and it's time for a change here, I think. More and more, with the stories about inflation, you see headlines like this, and it says, it's over, folks. Dollar Tree is ditching the $1 price point forever. And they had like they had signs. When you used to go to a Dollar Tree, there would be signs everywhere, and it's like everything's a dollar. Yeah. Like to the point where I didn't trust a lot of the stuff at a Dollar Tree.
Well, I would go around, and I'm like, I know for a fact that this particular brand that I'm looking at here, that I'm buying for $1, is like $4 at Walgreens or CVS.
And you start looking at dates and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, what am I getting myself into here? This shouldn't be a dollar. But now they're, like everybody else, changing their business model. And they're making stuff more expensive. And they're like, some stuff's $3 now and $5 or whatever. And they're increasing everything. If you're going to do this, you cannot be called dollar stores anymore. You cannot be called the Dollar Tree.
Well, dollar and change store.
You're gonna have to bump it up. You're gonna have to add a little something to the title of your store, because this stuff is not accurate as far as the description goes anymore.
I just like mind blown the other day in conversation with somebody talking about buying little toys and decorations and stuff. They're like, yeah, it was really cheap because we got it all at Five and Below. And I was like, Five and Below.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a better name, though.
Yeah.
You know what to expect now.
C-Lane never went in there because he thought it was just for five-year-olds.
Yeah.
If you go into these stores, you're expecting something. I'm expecting that everything at Dollar Tree is a dollar now.
Okay, but, you know, Dollar Tree has been the only honest dollar store in quite some time.
They're the
you
last
go to
holdout.
Family Dollar, and things are, you know, prices all over the place.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, Family Dollar's fine. This particular item will cost you a family of dollars.
What's the other one?
Dollar Tree could say it costs you a tree of dollars. They're going to use the same argument, I think.
It was, what is it? Dollar Tree and Family Dollar, and there's a third one that's also, you know, heavier.
I can't remember
price.
The other big
heavier?
Brand. Somebody will hit us with it, but there's just no more dollar stores now. This is what we have to come to terms with. Inflation is out there. It's happening, whether people want to bury their heads in the sand.
Speaking
stuff
of heavier,
is more expensive.
Overseas, do they have, like, the pound store?
I don't know. I didn't see one when I was in Europe, but that doesn't mean they weren't there. They might have something similar to this. But the Dollar Tree chain said it's going to permanently raise prices by 25% on the majority of its products. So now everything's $1.25. Dollar Tree has already made the change at some stores. My favorite part is now they have to do this big, giant national campaign, run advertising, train staff on how to handle customers confused about why the prices aren't a dollar anymore. People are going to come up with just handfuls
Thank
of
you.
Goodies and put them on the counter, and then they're like, what are you talking about? Should be $15. I've got 15 things sitting here.
So I got the third one because I know a lot of people were itching. It was Dollar General.
Dollar General was a big one.
Yeah. And they're generally more than a dollar.
This place was the last holdout that still had stuff that was actually a dollar. And they said over the last couple of decades, this model has worked for them, but now it was hurting businesses. So now stuff's more expensive. Starts at $1.25, $1.50 for some things. And they're adding $3 and $5 items to the offerings that they have at these stores. So every one of these places has now brought stuff up to a higher price point as a result of what we've been seeing in this country. And if you've gone out there, you see, I mean, you could go, hey, the turkeys are still cheap, right? Well, I mean, the stuff in the dollar store is still cheap too, but when everything starts inching up and gets more expensive, well, you're gonna feel that. People are feeling that. I know of the folks who I have who come out and do stuff at the house, the pool guy has increased his prices. The lawn guy, I mean, I'm expecting him to do it, but he's the nicest guy in the world. I think he doesn't charge me enough, actually.
Why, you give him magnets or something?
No, I don't pay him in magnets. No, he gets paid in
it's
real
just
money.
Just the microwave guy.
He is my last check guy, though. He's the only person that I have do anything at the house who I can't, like, Venmo or Cash App or Zelle or use any of these services. I got to get an envelope and put a stamp on it, put a check inside it.
What is he, 80?
Send it off to this guy. No, it's just how he operates, how he does business. But so many of these things are getting more and more expensive, and I'm sure you're seeing it out there. Now, before we get to your dispatches on this Share the Show Tuesday, something went on sale just the other day, yesterday, in fact, and it sold out so quickly, people were losing their minds. They were freaking out. And then it started appearing all over eBay and all these other sites, and people were paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to get this item that was now difficult to obtain. And I don't understand this. I want to know from you folks who do this stuff, what's the point? Why are you doing this? But what went on sale was tickets for Spider-Man No Way Home, the movie. And they sold out right off the bat across the country. And then the websites that sell them, like Fandango and stuff, were crashing.
Wait, when is the movie out?
The movie doesn't come out for a little while, I think, but the tickets started going up, and some people were putting them on eBay. I don't think they're getting this, but for $25,000 for tickets to a movie.
For tickets to a movie at a specific time and place in, like,
2 weeks from now, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It's probably a locked-in seat in a theater somewhere. It's not like a general ticket to go see this movie wherever you want.
Right.
That's not the way it would work. Some listings have actually sold for up to $100 per ticket, and people paying hundreds of dollars for a movie ticket is pretty damn excessive, if you ask me. But I've never even been the person to, when a concert goes on sale, or a Broadway show or something like that, I get it. You want to be there, you want to try to get those tickets, you want to go to that event. But for a movie, I've never done that in my life. I've gone, I'll have to wait a couple of days to be able to see this in a matinee or something.
I think I was part of a plan like one time where someone was part of a group and was like, we're going to get tickets for the premiere of, I think it was like Lion King or something like that. So in that case, I Venmo'd the money that I needed to be a part of that group. But that was about it.
The
really.
Last one I remember like this was maybe like a Star Wars movie. You know, one of those big, big releases when they come out. And I'm now so used to this new thing where we're watching the movies at home that I think I would never sit there and wait online and try to buy this.
This is the Spider-Man film that like leaked footage came out or leaked screenshots where...
This is the Tom Holland one.
This is the Tom Holland one that I think all three Spider-Mans are going to come together.
All the Spider-Men are gathering in one movie?
The Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and the little British kid.
Yeah.
They're all supposed to be together. No one was supposed to know about it, but there was like some leaked screenshots. And then this woman who was throwing a Spider-Man party for her kid, they sent like the new merch for it with all three dudes on it.
Well, why did she get this? Why did they send it to her?
It was a mistake. Like she ordered something from Amazon.
And they
or, like,
accidentally sent her something because, oh man. Well, look, I don't
even know if I were that woman, would I be able to like figure that out?
I would just shut up about it and put it on eBay. I'd sell that if nobody else had it at that time. I'm also always thrown off when I hear Tom Holland in an interview. He's one of these celebrities, and I'm sure you guys have other ones that are examples, but I always forget he's British.
Hugh Laurie
from House is one. The guy from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Is
like
one.
The whole cast of Walking Dead.
Yeah, a bunch of them. When you, all of a sudden you're watching an interview, you're like, what the hell? You have a British accent?
And I think at one point, Kate Beckinsale, because there were some movies she did early on where she had more of an American. I think in Pearl Harbor, obviously, she had an American accent.
You see him in three or four movies, and all of a sudden you see these people doing an interview, and you're like, oh my God, I had no idea, Tom. Every time I hear him talk, I go through that. Lots of examples of that. But the tickets sold out so fast, scalpers were grabbing up these Spider-Man No Way Home tickets, and people were buying them for hundreds, maybe even question mark, thousands of dollars, all to see the stupid Spider-Man movie. Get out of here, man. No, thank you. David on Facebook says, is anybody watching Yellow Jackets? So good. Oh, man.
Someone give me their Showtime account. Info,
Yellow
please.
Jackets is awesome. I have been watching that. And I know it's a little more difficult to get because it is on Showtime. I think we watch it through Hulu. Like, you can get like an add-on or something like that. But that show is badass, if you haven't seen it.
Through True Story, Kevin Hart's new drama thriller, and then started Hawkeye. But I just keep seeing the ads for Yellowjacket, hearing all the articles and all the people talking about it. Is it funny? Is it drama, thriller, murder?
There's funny parts in it. It's based off of, whether they're going to admit it or not, it's based off of... the story Alive, I think is the name of it, where Nando Parrado and these other soccer players were on a trip and the plane crashed into the mountains and they ended up trying to survive up there and it went all Lord of the Flies and they were like eating each other and stuff. And they do that with like this younger generation. And now it's supposed to be like, you know, decades after this happened and these girls are all trying to hide a secret. It's good, man. You're right, David. That's a good show if you haven't checked that out. Let's go to you, your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Let's see what's on your mind. And by the way, if you're just sitting there listening to the show every day, it's not a big deal. All you have to do is just send in a dispatch with your thoughts and it's as easy as this. Here is Brian with his dispatch from the News Junkie app.
No way I pay that much money for movie tickets.
No.
I don't even like going to the movies on the opening weekends, especially if big stuff like Star Wars. Man, I don't want to be no crowded theater with people completely surrounding you, rubbing
Gross.
Elbows and shoulders against whatever freaks they may be, and kids are just chewing
freaks.
Up popcorn and slurping
yeah.
up drinks and smacking candy, man. It's disgusting.
Smacking candy, man.
I much prefer to wait a couple of weeks when I could get the theater basically by myself or at least half full. Man, don't wait around these idiots. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Brian, I'm totally with you. You know what my nightmare is? When you go into a movie theater and you sit down and you get comfortable and then you start seeing more and more people streaming in and you're like, no. And then somebody sits down right next to you and you're like, God damn it, man. Now somebody's going to be sitting here the whole time. They're going to be talking. And I can't complain about that because I do remember the one time I did when I think Courtney and I were watching Jurassic World and I was complaining because some other couple was blabbing the whole time. And then turned out the guy was a listener to the show.
Oh,
that's awkward.
He emailed it. He's like, I'm so sorry. And he explained that she was from like Germany and he had to explain what Jurassic Park was to her because the movie wasn't making any sense to her. And
not talk about it in the car ride at all?
Yeah, I mean, there was probably time beforehand to really get that out there. But I'm with you, Brian. I think that's the worst when that happens. Let's go over to Jeffrey.
Dollar store, just add an S.
Dollars.
Thank you so much.
Dollars store, he's saying. Okay, dollar store. Here's most hated 407 with a dispatch.
Sup, News Junkies. I saw Sabrina lighting up some trees the other day. You know what I mean, boy?
Sounds. Boy. That voice sounds familiar. That most hated, I'm thinking, might be bacon and eggs. That sounds a little bacon and eggs.
I thought that they were just trying to sound like bacon.
Thanks
and
to
eggs.
I read into this.
Sup, News Junkies. I saw Sabrina lighting up some trees the other day. You
I
know what
is,
I mean, boy?
It's so close. It might be.
So what, are you looking in my window or something?
Here's Rosario with a dispatch.
Good morning, News Junkie.
Hi.
Today I found my first magnet in the wild on a white Toyota Camry at the city of Orlando.
Nice.
And he ended up catching me taking the magnet as well. Nice to meet a fellow News Junkie fan. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Rosario. Appreciate you and everybody else out there who is playing Game of Magnets. Be safe. Don't forget, a new design drop. The final one of 2021 is coming your way very, very soon. It'll be a new shirt and hoodie and magnet and sticker and all that good stuff. And you can get it in time for Christmas. So if you want it or you want to get it for somebody else you know listens to the show, make sure you're paying attention. It's going to be sooner rather than later that you see this go on sale. And you're going to want to get it while you can. Because I'm getting emails now from people in the last year. Hey, can I get one? Is it too late? Yes, too late. Once it disappears, it's gone, and you're not going to be able to get that anymore. That's just how the whole thing goes. Let's do one more. Here's Lumpy Beaver with a dispatch. Beaver?
Lumpy?
Excuse me.
How you going to feel when you spend a couple of $100 for that Spider-Man movie, and then a couple of weeks later they go, breaking news flash, Spider-Man No Way Home is streaming now. On whatever streaming thing.
I'm waiting.
Or is available on Netflix or whatever thing. Yeah, and you just spent $200 to go see it.
I feel like a real dummy.
Breaking news flash.
Yeah, who doesn't say it that way?
If it wasn't so noisy in the background, that would be part of our new breaking news
clip. I would like
if breaking news flash.
Somebody on CNN today or something was breaking news flash. If they just changed it up and went to that. Well, Lumpy Beaver, here's the other thing I don't do when it comes to go to see a movie like this. And I'm glad Cordy and I are on the same page with this, because if she wanted to do this, I'd be like, see you later. I just leave. I leave and let her do it. But so many people now, and I guarantee you for this Spider-Man movie, they'll do this. The movie ends, and you just sit there. And you're like, no, we got to see if there's a post-credit scene.
Isn't there a single-use website that's like just tracks movies and whether or not they have an after-credit scene?
Oh, is there? I haven't heard of it.
I feel like there is.
And it likely will. It's Marvel, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of the Marvel ones do, which is just a trick to make you sit through the stupid credits, man.
Dude, it was, what was the big one that The war one that Thanos is in.
Avengers.
Yeah, and I was at that movie, and I believe the credits were like 23 minutes long.
Yeah, I'm not waiting for that.
And then the scene plays, and it turns out I had to see a previous movie to understand what the hell was going on.
See, it's stupid. It's like, hey, everybody wait even longer. We just went through a three-hour movie. And now, just sit here for a handful more minutes, and then we're going to show you some random clip of something that people can decipher, like it's a, you know, a code out there, and the Rosetta Stone for the Marvel industry is needed to determine what the hell just happened.
Now, I feel like I've heard stories before where people who work in the industry like to watch the credits out of respect, or make their kids do it sometimes, too.
They're like,
I know the best boy grip. We need to see his name go by.
If that was my parents, I'd be like, no, you sit here and watch this. I'm not doing this. You know what the best credits are? You know what the absolute best credits are? When you watch a movie played on television and they're doing like a movie marathon and they start the next movie and the credits are going comically fast for the other movie right next to it. That's the best credits.
Or just the credits that have like content in them, like outtakes.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Baby pictures.
That I might stand for. But the idea that I'm just going to sit there and wait for that. No, thank you. Not going to do it. But we will get to more of your dispatches as the show rolls on. And also, when we come back, the most emailed story of the day. You folks know how I am about robots. I told you, I've been telling you all along. And this story is not only mind-blowing, it proves my point. And they're saying living robots can, for the first time, according to scientists, reproduce.
What?
This is weird, and there's a lot to go through, and we'll see what you think about it next. So stay right there. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
You know, I've been warning you about this for years and years and years. And people are like, Sean, you're crazy. This isn't a problem. There's nothing to worry about. You're all nuts. This is absolutely an issue. And when we see what's happening with robots and with artificial intelligence, it gets more and more disturbing as the days go on. And that's why everybody sends me stories like this to tips@thenewsjunkie.com, because, you know, and I get messages. I got a message on Facebook this morning saying, look, you were right, Sean. Yes, of course I was. Of course I was right. And this one is even hard to understand. And the folks who were involved in this at the University of Vermont should all be arrested. All of them should be arrested. They should round them up, because this is going to be one pebble that leads to the ultimate stepping stone of the end of humanity. And you might think I'm being dramatic, but I'm probably not. This is the headline. World's first living robots can now reproduce, scientists say, which it makes me think of the Jurassic Park, Life Finds a Way.
But this is not life.
Dino DNA.
This is life. That's the weird part about this, because they're,
I mean, what, a copy and paste? Haven't we been reproducing this whole time?
They're using the term living robots here. This is from the University of Vermont's YouTube page, so I don't know if this is going to say anything or just show us what's going on with these things. For those of you who are watching the show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, it's at the News Junkie.
These are like, they're not like robots. They're like little cells.
Well, they're calling them living robots. And they say they were formed from the stem cells of the African clawed frog, which sounds scary. And they're less than a millimeter, about 0.04 inches wide. The tiny blobs were first unveiled last year.
They look delicious.
They're little teeny tiny things, and they've discovered that they can reproduce on their own. This is the beginning of the movie, folks. What's the end of the movie look like? That's what you gotta ask yourself. That's what it is right there.
Interesting. Okay.
It's the little thing right here. They call it a Xenobot, but it's alive. It's actually alive, and they're reproducing.
It is not reproducing.
Yes!
It's a shepherd. You know, that's what they're doing.
They're literally saying they're reproducing.
They gather all the cells in the cell farm, whatever little plate that they're on, and then they bring them together, and that is what eventually forms the baby. It's like,
right, but that's reproducing.
Yeah, but it's not out of their own bodies. They're just kind of like harvested, putting everything together.
They're not reproducing sexually, which is even more concerning. They're reproducing.
What, you'd
asexually.
Rather them have sex?
No, I'm even more worried that they're just able to do this where you can't control the population of them. And right now they're tiny, teeny little things, these living robots that can reproduce. But what happens next here? Anybody looking down the road? They say now the scientists that developed them at the University of Vermont, Tufts University, and Harvard University's Weiss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering said they have discovered an entirely new form of biological reproduction, different from any animal or plant known to science. I was astounded by it, says Michael Levin, a professor of biology and director of the Allen Discovery Center at Tufts University. He was the co-lead author of the new research. Frogs have a way of reproducing that they normally use, but when you liberate the cells from the rest of the embryo and you give them a chance to figure out how to be in a new environment, not only do they figure out a new way to move, but they figure out a new way to reproduce. Straight up Jurassic Park, right? Didn't they use amphibian DNA to splice the genes together in Jurassic Park?
I thought it was the stuff that was in the guy's walking stick.
Now they're using this. They're using whatever they've got together with these xenobots to reproduce. This stuff is all going to trickle down into a big and crazy puddle that I think is going to frighten people at some point in time. Sour Patch Pete on Twitch says, they'll become self-aware soon when they infect the regular robots. I mean, the movie goes somewhere. It has to build.
It's their own COVID.
These particular things are so teeny tiny, but wait till they get bigger. They're showing them here on this visual. They say living robots that look and move like themselves. We found xenobots that walk. We found xenobots that swim. And now we found xenobots that replicate. What else is out there? Says this scientist that should probably be stopped.
He's a scientist working with tiny little robots, but he has a child's toy in his hand.
Yes, what are those things called? Oh,
Tinker
Erector
Tanker.
Set.
Yeah, an erector set. Do they even have those anymore? Kids still play with erector sets?
Maybe.
I thought those were gone by the wayside. But yeah, this is a story out there today talking about, hey, look what we did. We created these nanobots, and now they're just reproducing on their own. And tell me that's not the opening scene of the movie. Everybody cheering them on. Oh, great job, everybody. Look what we did with AI. Fast forward to the middle of the movie, and all hell's breaking loose. There's weird stuff happening. People have, like, strange new diseases.
Yeah.
Or got lockdowns galore.
A lawyer dies on a toilet.
That was what I was going to say.
You've got all sorts of major problems that come from this place.
You're the only one that's scared about this, Sean. It's incredible technology. Think that they could put a little shot in you, and then the robots go and gather all the cancer and viruses out of your body. They fight COVID-19.
I'm the only one in this room who's scared about this. And by the way, you know, no shot at the two of you, but maybe a shot at the two of you. All of the smart people are worried about this.
Oh, but way to get us on board by insulting our intelligence.
Nothing else has worked so far.
Sounds like there's a robot in your attitude.
These right here are Hail Mary passes I'm throwing.
You've been doing this for
everybody.
4 years, and nothing crazy has happened. No, they made a robot that flipped a burger that got fired like 2 weeks later, and that's about it.
Nothing has happened. I just gave you a story of nanobots reproducing on their own in a laboratory
with a guy who's playing with an 80s child's toy. I think we'll be dead by the time anything crazy happens.
I think that what we're looking at here is just the beginning. Just the beginning of what we're going to see with this stuff. And it has to start out in places like this. And then, man, who the hell knows? You got the worms are out, and you can't put them back. You're going to have to deal with the repercussions of creating this crap. We're going to go to some of your dispatches in just a moment.
You think anti-vaccine people pull up crazy ideas now, with Bluetooth and 5G?
Mm-hmm.
Don't show them this video.
No.
This video. No.
That's in the shot.
No.
They're going to start freaking out. Paranoia everywhere. And they should have paranoia about this. This kind of stuff is freaky. You know, we already seen robots with weaponry, and you got all sorts of other artificial intelligence that's far outpacing what the human mind can do. And now robots replicating. I don't know, man. I think that when you start looking at this stuff, and the further you dive into what we're messing around with,
the more concerning it seems our future is. And everybody's clapping for him, not me. I don't like it. I think they should be shut down. This whole thing is really, really strange to me. But we'll see what you think. You can send in your thoughts with a dispatch from the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now. When we come back, there is a huge, huge debate going down. And it's all about, of all things, a stake. I shall explain next. Stay right where you are. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Not that there's anything wrong with radio. Get us on your phone
and go anywhere.
There are a few exceptions.
What up, Orange County?
Download the iHeartRadio smartphone app
and then search for Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio. Real Radio.
Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is The News Junkie.
I have a feeling this is going to turn into an all-out brawl. I'm sure chat, dispatchers, everybody else, you're going to lose your minds over this, because this is one of those things that just, it triggers people. It sets people off, and it has done that in this story that is exploding online right now. And I got to start out by asking a couple of questions. C-Lane, I think you're probably the best to ask this one, just because you cook a lot of stuff, you're into cooking, you watch a ton of cooking shows, for God's sake. And are you familiar with something called A5 Wagyu?
Yeah.
What is A5? Is that like the A, the rating scale, how good it is?
I think it's probably some sort of grading. I have not heard of like A4, A3, A2, or A1.
I've never even seen the A before. I've heard of Wagyu beef.
I've definitely heard it being referred to as A5.
And what does that cost when you start talking about steaks like that? Are we talking about $100 steak or something?
Depending on where you're getting it. I mean, is it being prepared for you at a restaurant? Or
no,
are you buying it
no.
to...
This is somebody buying it and making it themselves. And this is why it leads into this big, giant fight. Because I don't think this woman was wrong. I don't think that this woman was wrong in this situation, but the person involved certainly does. And they were doing a big Friendsgiving type thing where,
cute,
you know, all the friends got together in November for Thanksgiving.
I'm already seeing problems with this story.
Mm-hmm. Why? Steak on Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh, I think
they're going to take you on a Friendsgiving. What are you going to do? You're throwing a big ass party with these rich people?
This doesn't say where it was, but let's just say it was in New York, and they got together all these friends. And I think you're right. That plays into the take that I have on this. But they said a meat lover has divided opinion after asking the internet whether he's a bad person for refusing to make a $120 cut of steak well done. So, I mean, that's an expensive steak by any
well
measure.
Well done.
The woman who was the date of one of his friends said, it needs to be brown all the way through. I want this well done. And he said, not a chance. Hell no. I refuse to do it. And it blew up the entire gathering. Like, it ruined the event. It ruined
Friendsgiving. They didn't even get to politics or religion yet.
No, it was a steak that they fought over. They got to that, and that was enough. God forbid they would have got into anything else. This probably would have been worse. So they said it was supposed to be an extravagant Friendsgiving, and he got a strip loin of A5 Wagyu really cheap, right? He got a deal on it. So if you got a deal, what are you whining about, man? He said, we had an array of dishes, but I was responsible for cooking the meat. Steak is about the closest thing I have to a religion, and I take it very seriously. All right, bud. Okay. The average steak for me takes about 4.5 hours to prepare and cook, from the sous vide to the cast iron. Does that sound excessive to you, C-Lane?
No. You don't need to sous vide it for 4 hours, but I mean, just the longer it goes through that.
We got some people texting sous vide. What's sous vide? Obviously, Sean and I know what.
For the uninformed.
Yeah.
Sous vide is a water circulation cooking technique. Basically, you take the steak, you vacuum seal it with whatever. Some people do butter, some people do no fat at all.
So you put some goodies in there. With
salt
it.
And pepper, maybe, garlic powder, and you vacuum seal it, and you just stick it in a big pot. And there's a device in there that moves the water around and keeps it at a specific temperature.
So it slowly cooks it at a low temperature.
It's more of a precise cooking method. So when you put something in the oven at 350 degrees, you do not want your food to ever be 350 degrees. It would be scorched.
This guy goes even further, though, and I've never even heard of this. You're the one to know, if somebody knows in the studio. To plate, he said, sometimes I take as much as 3 or 4 months butter aging or dry aging my meats to be certain that they are perfect, he said.
This guy sounds like a party animal.
Yeah, don't bring the steak to the group Friendsgiving if you're so goddamn particular about it.
Yeah, no, that should only, if you take that much care of your steak and you're buying A5 Wagyu and you're dry aging it for a couple months, which is not uncommon, you should, if you take that much care of your steak, you should know which of your friends is not the asshole that's going to ask for it well done.
Yeah, or bring a trash steak. You go, oh, you want well done? Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
We got this Costco steak on the side.
We'll call it the Frank steak. This is the one for Frank.
So she said she wanted it well done, and this guy refused. He blew up the whole party. He left. He wouldn't cook it. He stands by what he's doing. And this plays into this whole... There's a shaming going on here, and I've had enough of it. And
shame.
I know this seems like a wheel and takes thing. I know it does. It's not. Shame. This is facts, man. This is straight up facts. There are so many people that pressure you on this crap. I know if you go somewhere, let's say you go to a restaurant and you go to order a burger, people will say it's sacrilege to get anything other than medium rare. And I'm sorry, but medium rare is not the best to me. That's not the best way to do it. I don't want my burger
that way.
Because
you are a monster.
But I'll just go in there and then they'll go, how do you want your burger cooked? And I'll be like, medium. And they'll go, And they just start judging immediately, and it gets programmed in your head, like, this must be the best way to do it.
I feel like the burger, that's less of a...
a sin to cook it that way?
It's less of a sin. I mean, you remember, you were texting me from England, where they were like, they won't make my burger anything less than well done.
That's the only way they cook it.
Because they have stricter rules for minced meat or ground beef over across the pond.
In You so sounded so fancy. The pond.
That means that guy that we just read the story about will never step foot in the UK.
Oh, hell no. No, because in London in particular, this is a London-centric rule, because of the mad cow outbreaks that they've had in the past, I think it was big in like the 90s, they have a hard and fast rule that it has to be cooked well done. You have to cook things well done. But people lose their minds. They blow their tops about this crap.
So do you want to know what the A5 means? I have an answer.
Yeah, what is that?
There's two things you're finding out there. The letter, because they have these different grades, the letter represents yield quality, how much usable meat on the animal. A is superior, B is average, C is inferior.
Mm-hmm.
The number is, they say, it is more loaded with meaning than the letter. The digit between 1 and 5 represents where the quality falls on a number of characteristics, including the level of marbling, which there's a lot of in Wagyu beef, and there's a couple other
marbling.
Things in there.
So 5 is the absolute best.
Yeah.
It's like a sexy steak.
A5 is superior yield, superior marbling.
But what if I like it another way? And I'm going to buy the expensive steak, but I don't want it. Oh, my God. Some of these people that cook it, you're barely cooking. It comes back. It's like bleeding on your plate. And I know.
It's so good.
I know some of you like that. You're real hardcore carnivores about it. Not me. And this guy blew up a whole Friendsgiving over this thing. Like a fight over how to do this. He said, not a chance. I will not do it. He said the interaction resulted in him having his phone number and social media accounts blocked by his friend and the woman at the event. So they all went on like a blocking spree as a result of this stuff. Abraham,
a little extreme.
On Twitch says, like a hockey puck. No, it doesn't make it a hockey puck when you get it cooked a little more. Sometimes that's the best way to do this thing. But it becomes like you've said something embarrassing. Like, if you order something, if you order your meat cooked a particular way, oh, that's how a little kid would eat it, right?
Yeah, you want some ketchup too?
Right.
A little booster seat?
Oh, I remember they went nuts on Trump when he, it turned out they were like, he likes his steak well done. And they were like, oh my God.
Didn't they say he likes it well done with ketchup?
It might have been with ketchup.
That's two blows for steak lovers.
But why is that a shame either?
Like, you know, because
a lot of people like ketchup on their steak.
Because the most wonderful chefs in the world for decades have prepared the meat that way. So, like, you know, you have your connoisseurs, but then you have the folks who have tried all the different ways of having steaks And this is the best way to do it, to have the best experience. Now, I do understand where you are coming from and the shame that people will get because all of a sudden you're saying mozzarella and you can judge anybody on how they eat.
Right.
And that is every single time I order a side of mayonnaise, I have to basically whisper it into the server's ear.
Because they judge
you. Because everyone's like, oh, it's disgusting. Oh, it's so nasty. And it's like, first of all, mayonnaise isn't everything. Second of all, I wish mayo people would just like stand up and all gather around and take away the stigma of it being nasty.
You know, I'm an absolute individualist on almost all fronts in my life. And this is no different. You know what the best way to have a steak or a burger is? The way you like it. That's the best way to have a steak or a burger. Whether that's ketchup all over it with people pointing at you and laughing at you, or medium rare, the God-blessed way to do all of this, apparently.
Now, given that this was not at a restaurant, though, or cooking at home, like this guy went out of his way to prepare this meal for his friends, I mean, is it worth you saying, well, I want it well done, and if not, I'm leaving this party? Or do you, like, take the gift and go with what the person that provided it was.
Maybe some people get weirded out just by, like, uncooked meat. I know there's a lot of people that get worried about that. Am I going to get sick and all this stuff? And maybe she was taking an issue with that. But, C-Lane, there's definitely an opportunity for him to take one steak and make some of it the way he wanted it and then, like, cook some of it more, right? It wouldn't ruin the whole thing to do it that way, would it? Or is it because of the sous vide thing?
No, because you typically, what he's probably doing is sous vide and then searing. And so he probably could just take one of the steaks and sear it longer.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, man.
You're on his side, aren't you?
I'm a little on his side.
You're on his side, Mr. Butter Poached whatever.
I'm a little on his side.
I mean, I'm definitely on his side. I don't know how you can take such a expensive piece of meat and then ask for it well done,
because that's the way she wants it. You know, people like things different ways, and if she wanted to sit there and take a whole thing of Heinz ketchup and squirt it all over the plate and dive this steak into it,
if you bought
go for it.
If you bought a really expensive bottle of champagne, like not too long in the not so distant future, we're celebrating 10 years as a show, right? The three of us, and you buy a very expensive bottle of champagne to celebrate. And I said, I want mine on ice with Red Bull.
I would say that's how C-Lane wants it.
I would have
no problem with it. You guys got to understand, I'm the one who got in trouble one time for shooting whiskey when I was supposed to savor it
or
something.
That's right, you did.
And plus, your esophagus was burnt to a crisp after doing that.
I don't mind taking things and just doing it the way that I think I'm going to like it the most, but there is a lot of judging on stuff like this. And judging from the dispatches and from chat and everybody, so we'll get to what you think. Was this person wrong to ask this of the folks who threw this Friendsgiving? We'll get into your thoughts when we return. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. Plus, Fox Sports, with a big screw-up, they often ask us, and people, when they run into us, you guys ask us all the time, you know, what can you say and what can't you say on the radio? What can you do, what can't you do on TV? And it's a complicated thing, but Fox Sports just did something that you definitely can't do, that you definitely cannot do on television, and we'll talk about what they did and whether or not they're going to get in trouble for this next. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Something on your mind? Text us at 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.
From
helping to spread awareness, or whatever the new buzz term is.
We're not actually doing anything.
You're listening to The News Junkie.
Got you guys fired up about steaks, man.
Woo!
Of all things. In a second, something that Fox Sports did that you definitely cannot do on television. But I remember one time, Courtney and I are in New Orleans. We're hanging out, having fun. We go there pretty much every year. We've been a lot of times. And we're looking through the window of this place, and the place has like a room where they're dry aging all this meat, and it's out. It's a beautiful, crazy display. And used to kind of rope in some new customers and stuff. And this woman, we had no idea who she was. She's just walking by, and as Courtney and I are kind of looking through the window at the meat there, the woman leans into us and she goes, "Don't eat the meat." And then she walked away and never said anything again. And I had no idea what she was warning us of.
Did you listen?
We didn't go there because I didn't like.
Let's not even step in, babe.
I don't know if she's like a. Is she a health inspector or is she just like a vegan and she's trying to advocate against? I don't know what the woman wanted, but she said it like out of a horror movie. Don't eat the meat. And then she walked away, and we just looked at her and looked at each other, and all right, we're going to listen to her. I don't know why, but we're going to see what you think about this story we were talking about, where a huge blow up happened, ruined a whole party. Over some woman daring to ask for her steak to be cooked well done. People go nuts about that. But in the world of broadcasting, when we go out and do things, a lot of times people come up and they're like, hey, what can you say and what you can't say? Or can't you say on the radio? Or what can you say and what can't you do on television? You get these questions all the time.
Sure.
All the time. And people will go, hey, I heard you guys do this. Did you get in trouble for that? Like, all right. So you have to explain that with the FCC. The rules are about as vague as can be.
It's fun.
It depends on what they're trying to go after at any point in time. There were literally radio stations, and I'll call one out in specific because WQAM was definitely doing this, after the whole Janet Jackson nipple kerfuffle, where for some reason Janet Jackson's nipple goes out during the Super Bowl halftime show, and the FCC decided to punish radio shows for being vulgar as a result. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but on stations like WQAM, they said you can't play fart noises. Fart noises are now an FCC violation.
I would have lost my job so long ago.
We're screwed. We had to pack up our bags and get the hell out of here.
I have so many fart sounds.
So they said at some point in time, you can't do that. You can't say this. You can't, like, you would have to really work your way around it. But most of the rules are loose, and basically they say you can't be titillating or descriptive about two things: going to the bathroom, bathroom functions, and sex.
Mm-hmm.
You can't describe those in any sort of details that are too graphic. Put your air quotes around that if you'd like. And if somebody complains, you could get a fine. And I think even in a lot of the modern day radio contracts, if we screw up, we could be liable for the fine, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's funny that you bring this up because I did watch that documentary yesterday, that special they did about the whole Janet Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Hulu one, right?
And the fallout. I think it was on Hulu, yeah. And it was pretty good. I mean, they had a pretty high up people that were in that whole production, the Super Bowl thing, that were interviewed. And
not Janet Jackson, though, huh?
No, no.
I would have loved to have heard from her.
Same.
I would have loved to heard her version of the whole thing.
She has done interviews, and they had that footage. Like, she did Oprah a handful of years later, where she talked about the video apology that she did, and she regretted doing that and stuff.
Never
like that.
Never do the video apology. Never do.
But her boobs were out the whole time.
Written apology's fine. Never do the video apology.
And then they were, I felt like they were kind of going after David Letterman a little bit, because one of her first TV appearances after that was on Letterman, and this was when the term wardrobe malfunction was quickly becoming a household term.
Yeah.
And that's all David Letterman wanted to talk about, and you could tell she didn't. And he's like
during the interview with
her.
Yeah.
She was wearing something a little showy, and he goes, "Looks like they're malfunctioning right now."
Jesus.
So that was a big deal. All of a sudden they come after radio, and you have to tell people it's a little bit in the eye of the beholder. And the real news on that front is nobody's been fined, as far as I know, for content on a radio show, as far as like explicit content goes. Mm-mm. In like a decade. Like, nobody's gotten a big fine in a very, very long time, or at least since that whole aftermath of the Super Bowl Nipplegate thing.
No, I even think that the Nipplegate fines got overturned.
Did they? I mean, afterwards they went after a couple of broadcasters, but
though at one point Mel Karmazin or Wes Moonves was like in a boardroom going, "Can we get Janet Jackson to pay these fines?"
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing now. In contracts, now they have it for us to pay. But the only thing that somebody's been fined for, outside of dumb stuff that you don't care about, right? You don't care about if their license expired, and the only thing content based that somebody's been fined for, and it was a pretty big fine, was a radio show that did something that you're definitely not allowed to do. And Fox Sports just did this, okay? You are, of all the rules out there, hard and fast rule in radio, not allowed to make a fake emergency alert. You can't do some bit where it's all the tones.
And remember, what was it? Purge, right? During the trailer.
Yes.
That they had that and had to change everything because it was setting off all the EAS alerts.
Yeah, it can set off alerts around the country at different radio stations. It can confuse people. And even if it's very clearly a joke, you cannot do that on a radio show or on a television show. And Fox did this thing. Strangely enough, I can't actually play it for you because of the rules of radio and television broadcast. But they did a thing during NFL Sunday action. And you could see here, this is as much as I could show you. It says Fox NFL Emergency Alert. This is a Fox NFL Emergency Alert. Maybe that's what they're going to use to get by. Like, we put Fox NFL Emergency Alert. You're really not supposed to do this. Attention, NFC East teams and fans. The Philadelphia Eagles are back. This is a warning. If you or someone you love is a fan of the Eagles, and then they had this whole thing set up. Now, 1-2 punch here. 1-2 punch. On the bottom of the screen, they have a website for their fake emergency alert here. And it says FoxNFLEmergencyAlert.com. What mistake do you think they made when it comes to that website they put down there?
They didn't actually purchase the website?
Nobody bought the URL.
Gotcha.
So immediately you had a Let's Go Brandon situation. Somebody bought it and put up all this stuff and responded to this to kind of troll people. But I think Fox Sports might get in some actual legal trouble. And this is against FCC rulings. I'm not trying to... You know, I'm not trying to call him out here or rat on him.
Sounds like you're calling him out, man.
Everybody knows already. Everybody in the industry knows that this is a problem that you can't do this.
Did it say what they aired it on?
They aired it on, what do you mean?
Was it on a broadcast network?
It says Fox NFL Sunday, so I think that's on the Fox Broadcast Network, right? Which would be regulated by the FCC.
It would, but I do wonder because the Purge trailer still had it on TV. It was just they had to change it once it was being played on the radio. So does the emergency broadcast, that signal itself, do the same thing that it would if it was played on our airwaves?
I think it can. And the rule is for anything that the FCC governs. So that would be broadcast TV, not cable TV.
Right.
So cable TV is different. Broadcast
TV.
Yeah,
they can curse there.
And broadcast radio stations. Also featured in the fake emergency alert was the URL of the site NFL, FoxNFLEmergencyAlert.com. Let's go to that. Let's see. FoxNFLEmergencyAlert.com. Let me mute this just in case it starts screaming at me. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, Brandon. Make America great again, it says. And then it's just got a bunch of, like, Trump YouTube videos or something. FJB. And Let's Go Brandon headlines or something. So
wow.
Somebody grabbed this and started running with it and put up a website. They should have bought that, but they say, obviously the slogan signals a very pro-Trump attitude, yada, yada, yada. But they may be in trouble for airing this right now. And if you're going to get in trouble for something right now, that's the thing. Don't screw around with that. Whether or not Fox will get in trouble is another question entirely. Let's hear from you a bit here. Let's see what's going on with your dispatches from the News Junkie app on a Share the Show Tuesday. We always appreciate your dispatches. And here they are right in front of us. Let's go over to John with a dispatch. All right, hold on.
On the subject of steak, I've worked in a few fine dining establishments, and on your higher end cuts of meats, the chefs will not cook them more than medium. And one of the reasons for that is it destroys the high end piece of meat. And another reasoning is the chefs are not going to want to listen to people complain about how tough this amazing piece of meat was. Because
yeah, but shouldn't in that case, shouldn't you go, well, the chef recommends that you get your steak medium well. If you'd like it cooked to any other preparation, we just don't back your experience. And you can do it if you'd like, but if you're not happy with it, that's on you because you've decided to get it away different than the chef would suggest. That would be fine. But if somebody wants it another way, the idea that the chef is back there like, no, I won't do it. You know,
is he nuts?
No steak for you. I'm not going to cook this because I think that that ruins the meat. It doesn't ruin the meat for the person who wants it that way. It makes it perfect for them in the way that they actually
they
want
had
it.
Cooked well done. That just knocks down the reputation. And anybody that knows anything about steak and asks for Wagyu to be cooked well done has no business eating steak. And
well, no business
wrong.
Eating Wagyu.
Wrong. The guy is right. And, yeah, that would be like taking a $600 bottle of Cristal Rosé and using it to make mimosas.
That might be a great mimosa.
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop. Have a lovely day, you mother.
Whoa, all right. What if you really liked mimosas and you went out and you got the best fresh-squeezed orange juice that anybody could buy? And then you got a bottle of Cristal and spent some money on it. You put it together and then you really enjoyed it. Isn't that all that matters? That's something that you like, that you enjoyed? Everybody likes things differently. And especially with food, this is all very, very, you know, personal. It's subjective stuff, I think. We got many opinions on this. So quick break when we come back. The next episode with Sabrina. What's coming up on the next episode?
Sean, I'm so glad you asked. What's coming up on the next episode? Tom Ford is very, very sad. And it's all Lady Gaga's fault. You put your left foot in, you take your left foot out, you put your left foot in, and then you lose it in the crowd. Plus, introducing Dante 3000, whose course is set for an uncharted sea, P.U. All that and so much more coming up on the next episode.
Stay where you are. We are back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
On the bright side, we're not dead yet. You're listening to the News Junkie. We're gonna separate ourselves tonight.
We're always running scared for the night. The next episode in just a moment. All things happening in the world of entertainment and beyond. And don't forget, one more design drop for 2021, a new shirt coming up in, well, a very, very short amount of time. So make sure you're staying with us. Those you could get in time for Christmas, support the show, rock a cool design, and you'll get the magnet for Game of Magnets, and of course, a sticker right along with it. And keep your eyes peeled. Might want to say on GetSkywall.com, monitoring that. And otherwise, just prepare yourself and your monies to get a little something extra. All right, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV.
And you can't possibly keep up with all of it.
Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I am a drug dealer.
Nothing.
Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey.
Are you ready to buy some drugs for your mind? Via the next episode. And you know who is kind of like a drug when it comes to how high of money?
Thought you were going to say drug dealer.
No. But instead of take the drug part out, and he's going to get you a deal, a good deal when it comes to refinancing or buying your first home. That's that mortgage guy, Don, from homeloansradio.com. He's better than drugs because you won't get addicted and stuff. You'll just get addicted to saving money and working with a great guy. Homeloansradio.com. It was 62 years ago. Speaking of FCC and what they won't let us be, not only can we not curse or play the emergency noise without an emergency, but it was 62 years ago today, 1959, that Billboard magazine reported that there was a scandal surrounding this.
Oh, payola.
Payola is right. Payola.
You know, they had a lot of payola raps out there.
They only have one. I was so glad Migos did it. But yes, Billboard magazine reported that the payola scandal will substantially damage the careers of at least 25 DJs.
Wow.
So no word what happened 62 years ago to those 25 DJs.
For those of you who don't know, there are two things we're not supposed to do besides all that stuff I said. Payola and plugola. Payola is usually when they pay to get a song played on the radio. And plugola is when C-Lane gets a deal on like some hot sauce or beef right. jerky or something.
Makes sense.
I've never done that.
In exchange for a mention on the
air. Because I told that guy, 10% is not worth my job, dummy.
There's probably, you know, also some things that would be not necessarily added to a contract with work, but you could lose your job when it comes to cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel is what they call it in the industry. And now Twitter is claiming cancel culture has now been canceled itself, that
all
it's
right.
not real after the nominees for the Grammys came out. And amongst all the artists are some notable nominees like Louis C.K., Marilyn Manson, and Dave Chappelle.
Marilyn Manson has something out there?
Yes.
I mean, Louis C.K. has something out there?
So let's break it down, shall we? They say Louis C.K., he was in the spotlight after those revelations of masturbating in front of people in 2017. He's resumed his live stand-up performances. So I believe you even saw him in New York City, right?
I saw him in Philly.
In Philly, excuse me. And in front of a massive sign that read, sorry. So he has been nominated for Best Comedy Album for Sincerely Louis C.K. Manson, subject of multiple sexual assault allegations and a recent police raid of his home.
Yeah, what if they found that clear room?
Was it Bad Girls Room?
Yeah, they said it was like locking people up in it, like the show You.
He's been nominated for Album of the Year for his guest work on Kanye West's Jail Part 2 in the latest album, Donda.
Oh, that's right. He was on that.
And then Dave Chappelle nominated for Best Spoken Word Album for Special 846, which was the, you know, essentially a lecture about the violence against black people, George Floyd. I never got to see it, but I heard it was really good. And then whole trans joke happened.
Do people still buy comedy albums?
Like,
I don't. No. I wouldn't.
Yeah, who's buying that?
I see people watching this
special. No, the getting the award, getting the trophy or whatever, winning the, what is it, the Oscars? What?
Grammys.
The Grammys. Getting the Grammy isn't based on who sold the most. It's based on, like, the critics or whatever.
So, the Twitter critics, Twit-cricks is what we call them, also in the industry. Put that curtain back down. After the announcement of the nominations, there are people on social media saying, you know, the fact that the likes of Louis C.K. and Marilyn Manson were nominated, one guy, or gal, excuse me, actually, how dare I assume Bridget's gender? She said, delighted Louis C.K. has been nominated for a Grammy after admitting to sexual misconduct. Jay off in front of us if you'd like, lads, but be warned, major awards may follow. Louis C.K., I guess Kevin Hart, but I thought Kevin Hart was uncanceled after he said sorry.
I forgot what he did to begin with. This has been,
by the way,
it was
his new show, True Story. Loved it.
Yeah.
He lost the Oscars hosting gig after they dug up old tweets with gay jokes.
Yeah.
They say you can't tell me cancel culture exists when Louis C.K., Dr. Luke, Dave Chappelle are all receiving Grammy nominations, says Jeffrey on Twitter. Now, there has been a response by the Recording Academy president and CEO Harvey Mason, and he says they won't restrict the people who can submit their material for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
They're not restricting the people who can submit it. They don't look back at their history. They don't look back at their criminal record. They don't look back anything other than the legality within their rules. And that's how they're going to do it. All right? So shut up. It's going to be January 31st next year. Looking forward to it. Aren't you guys?
Yeah.
You know who...
I hate award shows. I hate all award shows.
Yeah. I definitely won't watch it, but you know, I'll talk about it maybe the next day. No clue. This band right here.
Metallica.
No. There.
Slayer.
No.
Megadeth.
They're in battle, but with the letter G.
Kiss. Oh, Gwar.
Gwar is right.
This is the Gwar thing.
Anyways.
I don't know any Gwar songs.
Me either.
For the record.
But I really want to go to a show. It really seems like a good time. This one in particular that they just had. Very fun. San Francisco on Sunday night. Not necessarily a great idea to go crowd surfing with such an interesting act. But should you do it, make sure that your prosthetic leg is strapped up real tight.
Yeah, you're going to want to do that.
Because they had to stop the concert after a guy lost his fake leg in the crowd. Those of you guys on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube, peep this video. Sean, make sure you don't play the... I'll play the edited audio.
Okay.
But basically, they stopped the show to help this man find his missing leg.
Anybody got a fake leg out there? Or got an extra fake leg out there? I'm not saying it this way because it's...
This guy needs his effing leg.
Watch the leg. It's being crowd surfed back to the guy.
That's an expensive leg. He got his leg back. This is a nightmare,
back
man.
Back to partying. The Guar bassist Beefcake the Mighty came to the guy's rescue. He was the one that stepped up to the microphone saying, if anyone's got a fake leg out there, bring it up to the front. Guar posted a video and said, not the first or last time someone lost a body part in the Guar pit. This time it's just caught on video.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll, baby. Tom Ford, he's not mincing his words when it comes to his thoughts about House of Gucci.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
And his quote, I mean, no one likes it. From the moment this movie was even announced that it was going into production, the Gucci family decried it. They did not want anything to do with it. They said all the people that were picked were ugly, I believe. And I think even Jared Leto, they were like, how could you pick someone who looks so different from our papa or whatever, or our cousin? I don't know what Jared Leto's character is, to be honest with you. But neither... the Gucci family's not liking it. Neither is Tom Ford. Luxury clothing label and fashion designer expressed their disgust over the movie. Now, he was the creative director of the Gucci fashion label from 94 to 2004. So, perfectly fitting time for him to, I don't know, give his word about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He compared it to, and I quote, surviving a hurricane.
Watching the movie?
Yes.
All right.
He said he liked the costumes and the sets. He liked Lady Gaga and Adam Driver's performances. He said the movie rivals Nighttime Soap Dynasty for subtly, but does so with much bigger budget. The film, well, I'm still not quite sure what it is exactly, but somehow I felt like I lived through a hurricane when I left the theater. He also said he was deeply sad for several days after watching House of Gucci.
Still bought a ticket, though. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes. The reviewers, the critics gave House of Gucci, which was number two at the box office this weekend, 62.
Awesome.
The audience gives it an 84, which is actually not that bad, mm-hmm. considering a lot of the stories that have been out there.
I'm looking forward to see Lane downloading it for me. I mean, going to the theater to see it.
It's not for me. And plus, I mean, just watching Lady Gaga do an accent for 2 hours and 40 minutes, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it, but people seem to like it.
You are not going to like this because of your fight against the robot, Sean.
Yeah.
You hate him. You've been screaming on the top of that non-robot soapbox for so long, and you're still there just by yourself. And this is going to make it even worse for you. Introducing Ada, AI-DA.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the latest robot to make waves in the world of entertainment, this time with poetry.
She kind of looks like the... The robot thing from Squid Game, like the one that does red light, green light.
A little bit.
Getting some of those vibes off this AI thing.
So Dante's Divine Comedy inspired countless artists from William Blake to August Rodin to C.S. Lewis. And now an exhibition marking the 700th anniversary of the Italian poet's death will be showcasing the work of a more modern devotee. And that is Ada, the robot. She'll make history, or already did, by becoming the first robot to publicly perform poetry written by its AI algorithm. So, I guess the ultra-realistic, and I would say so, compared to other robots that we've seen before that are just terrifying looking, is it was devised in Oxford. Computing pioneer Ada Lovelace is who she was named after, and she was given the whole epic three-part narrative poem by Dante. That's 700 years old. To read, and then... put together her very own or their very own poem. Now, Ada performed it at Oxford's Ashmolean Museum, one of my favorite museums. And Ada is not the first AI to have been taught to write poetry, but the organizer said it would be the first time an AI robot has written and then performed it. Would you like to hear some of Ada?
Yeah, I could play this. You want
to please
play this thing here?
I wept silently, taking in the scene.
It's weird, man. It's creepy.
I wept. Because they had lost something they took for granted.
Moves real slow.
My sight, eyes wide open. We looked up.
This looks like I was built by the same person that created like Zoltar.
Why are you zooming in so close to her face?
Yeah. Back away!
But it never came.
Oh, there you go.
If you put her on Twitter, eventually all her poems will be about Nazis.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
An art specialist said that the words and sentence structure of the poetry are okay. Restricted editing, they said. Now, people are very suspicious about robots and them doing, like, much, but they said really, like, 95% of the cases in editing, it was because she had done too much. She had written too many things. It said 20,000 words can be given by this robot in 10 seconds.
Weird.
This is not her only thing on the resume. Ada has done a TED Talk. She also has given solo exhibitions. She's also created art, and her art was based on her detainment in Egypt last year. Did you know that?
She got detained.
The robot was detained.
Good job, Egypt.
There were cameras in her eyes, and they didn't care for it at all. And then she made art with it. So what are you doing with your life, non-robots? I think
they should toss this thing off a ship in the middle of the ocean and watch it sink to the bottom.
Okay. And then we can go watch Magic Mike 3, baby. Because it's happening, ladies and guys who like good bodies on other guys. Channing Tatum is making his return as stripper Mike Lane, C-Lane's cousin. The movie will be called Magic Mike's Last Dance, only available on HBO Max. Suck it, theaters! It'll have the same director as the first film, same writer as the last two. Not much is known yet, but based on the title, I guess it'll be his last dance. So, on the boob tube, you can dance your way onto The Bachelorette. It's Hometowns Week. The Voice on NBC. We have Chucky, first season finale, and superstar George Michael on ABC. Maya Rudolph on Fallon, and you follow your dreams. And me on Instagram, at Sabrina Ambra. And most importantly, say it with me, America.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Back in just a moment. Is Chris Cuomo going to get fired by CNN? There's new stuff that is leaked out about what was going on with this whole sex scandal with Andrew Cuomo and how Chris Cuomo, his brother from CNN, was helping him out with it. It's pretty crazy, and it may pressure CNN into firing his ass. We'll see what they learned when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hear it here first. Then everyone else will catch up in a week or two or four. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Chris Cuomo from CNN may end up losing his job because he was protecting his brother. He's accused of all kinds of stuff in this sex scandal. Which is like has criminal implications, just for the record. And this has been going on for a while. That's why he's not the governor anymore. You know, Andrew Cuomo lost his position. He had to step down because of all this pressure. And there are allegations that he like grabbed some woman's breast in the governor's mansion and a bunch of other unwanted touching. And being that one of them, the touching of this woman's breast happened in the governor's mansion, it raises to the level of an actual criminal charge. And they released a whole bunch of footage of the investigators.
Wait. Criminal charge as opposed to if he touched a breast somewhere else that's not the governor's mansion?
Well, in a case like this, I guess if there was allegations that he had touched somebody's breast inappropriately, it wouldn't have gone to the level of charges that it is for some reason when it actually occurs in the governor's mansion. I don't know.
Is it statute of limitations kind of thing?
No, it's just
type of charge?
Yeah, it's just the type of charge changes for some reason because he's in a position of power and in the governor's mansion. That played into this whole thing. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, I guess it shouldn't be too big of a surprise, but it's a bad look and CNN should fire his ass for doing it. Chris Cuomo's texting his brother. He's saying, look, you know, I'm trying to find out everything that's going on. He's offering advice. He's rewriting some statements and stuff that Andrew Cuomo was going to put out to deny that these things were happening. And also ended up figuring out who one of the people who was alleging this improper touching was. He said, oh, you know, like I looked through my sources and I found out the woman who was at the wedding. And all this goes down yesterday. This is in the news last night. And then you have this crosstalk on CNN between Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. And they do this at the end of all their shows. They're like, oh, you know, I'm going to send it off to Chris Cuomo here. And they have a little back and forth talk. But being that you have these allegations, well, not even allegations, you have flat out evidence that Chris Cuomo, the CNN host, was helping out his brother, who was like a sex pest in this sex scandal, and figuring out who the accusers were and finding out all kinds of information. It seems weird that they did it this way. Here's how it ended yesterday. Let's see.
I see you, brother. I know you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did. I missed you. I am grateful for your friendship and your love. I think that you are fantastic. One of the kindest people I know on this planet. And there you go. I'm in everywhere.
Well, I am thankful.
What
for
a weird day to
life.
Do this.
It's great to see you having a good time. I like the Friendsgiving tradition.
Yes.
For us, it was great to be in the house for the first time.
Clearly, they're, you know, referring back to what's going on here. When he's like, yeah, what are the kindest people? You're the greatest. What are the kindest people on the planet, says Don Lemon.
It was great to know you.
A fawning handoff, they called it in this article, to an under fire CNN co-host as Cuomo is branded nauseating after Chris lied about the extent of his involvement in his brother Andrew's sex pest scandal. And some of the things that he did with this, I think, are in this report from CNBC, where they talked about was Chris Cuomo advising his brother. Let's just peek in.
New York's attorney general releasing videos of former governor Andrew Cuomo and his accusers testifying under oath to investigators. Nearly 12 hours worth of testimony made public. The videos give us an up-close look and how then Governor Cuomo handled questions about the allegations that ultimately ended his tenure as governor.
I mean, how do you think?
Here's Jonathan Dienst, chief investigative reporter for NBC4 New York.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
These are always so interesting to see when somebody is deposed, because no one who is being deposed ever wants to be being deposed.
No.
And it's like the clips that you come out or you see come out of depositions like this, it's like the most ridiculous. Like, I always remember Lil Wayne's, Justin Bieber's, mm-hmm. and then if you've seen Tiger King 2 yet, was the crazy zookeeper guy who was losing his ever-loving mind.
Oh, they're always so pissed. Yeah.
Always so, because it's like, this is a waste of time. I'm not answering your questions.
It's usually confrontational. So they'll start digging in with some questions, and then it becomes like a battle of the minds, and people get mad.
I was fascinated by some of the depositions in the Epstein documentaries, mm-hmm. where he was just like, Fifth Amendment galore.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get a lot of these that come out in these high profile cases. In this situation, it was the former Governor Cuomo talking about his, you know, involvement with these people.
Former Governor Cuomo appeared sour from the start of his deposition.
Of course he
During
did.
During his hours of testimony, he was seemingly at times uncooperative, even combative.
How do you want to define girlfriend?
Did you date her?
How do you want to define date?
How do you define date?
But it doesn't matter how I define date. How do you define date?
Oh, good God. See, I don't blame him for this. He's probably slimy as hell. He's somebody who can't accept responsibility for his actions. I've seen that for years and years with him. And his brother is the same way. They're both exactly the same way on that. That you don't challenge them. You know, these people who have lived privileged, spoiled lives, and they're not to be challenged ever. They deserve all the things that they have. And Andrew Cuomo is that person in reality. And he probably did all these things that people are suggesting he did. But the fact is, I can't hate on somebody for being combative in one of these situations. I would totally be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I would be so annoyed.
Oh, you would be an asshole.
I would be doing the same thing he's doing. The person who is across from you is not your friend. They are not your buddy. They are there to try to take you down. So to spar with them in situations like this, I mean, I don't like the guy, but I don't think it's crazy.
Because it's your question.
Cuomo denied ever inappropriately touching, harassing, or groping any of his accusers.
That never happened.
In addition to Cuomo's video testimony, the attorney general today released videos of six accusers, all who alleged wrongdoing by Cuomo or a toxic work environment.
I remember him going straight to my butt, just definitely trying to touch me.
Okay.
And I remember standing there like, okay, like I kind of froze.
And for the first time, we see testimony from Cuomo's former top aide, Melissa DeRosa. She testified she did not see Cuomo harass anyone. And investigators seem to touch upon unsubstantiated rumors, which she and Cuomo deny, that they had an affair.
Uh-oh. Now they're...
How do you find dating?
They're suggesting that he and his top aide, who no longer works for him, were having some sort of relationship.
I feel like there's always one person in the list of depositions that backs the guy up, but it's always too far. They're like, well, I've never even seen Andrew Cuomo around a woman.
Yeah.
He's never been within 6 feet of a woman.
Yeah. They go too far in defending him to where you escape the bounds of reality.
I don't think he has arms. Last time I checked.
So let's see what she says. I guess they asked her about dating the governor.
Has the governor ever kissed you on the mouth?
No.
Dude, that is two for two clips that just start off as a banger.
What a weird question. I mean, I guess
he went right to my butt.
But she said the question was directly, has the governor ever kissed you on the mouth?
He had an affair.
Has the governor ever kissed you on the mouth?
No.
DeRosa, after hours of questioning.
Would it surprise you to learn that the governor frequently kissed Annabelle Walsh on the mouth?
Yes.
Did she ever tell you that?
No.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so tired.
That ain't gonna work.
And questioning resumed the next day.
Oh, it did work.
Also released of Cuomo's brother, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. He admitted being looped in on conversations and emails when the allegations surfaced.
He should have nothing to do with this.
Oh my gosh. Is that the deposition? Did he do a remote deposition and he's wearing his Cuomo primetime hat?
Oh, I don't know. Is this a clip from his deposition?
In March of this year, DeRosa texted him about rumors of more people coming out and asked him to check his sources. Chris Cuomo responded he was on it, later answering that no
Cuomo
one heard
on
anything
it.
Yet. Under oath, Chris Cuomo denied taking part in any opposition research on his brother's accusers. I'm not in the oppo research business. That's not what I'm about. In Albany, the district attorney there is still deciding whether to proceed with a misdemeanor
against
Cuomo.
So misdemeanor groping charge is the charge that they're working on right now. But they had five women, at least, given these depositions and text messages and all this stuff coming out where Chris Cuomo is chasing down who the accusers were. It's just slimy. Like, it's a real bad look, and there should have been major separation there. And the biggest issue is he lied about it. He said he didn't have that level of involvement, and CNN was kind of forced to go, all right, we're going to look at it. We're going to look into this, and if there's pressure, they'll probably fire him, which they should do. But if everybody's like, if we have another story that distracts us in the next 24 hours, he'll cruise right along. Forgot about that.
If they have another story that distracts us, they're going to need Chris Cuomo to report on it. So they can't fire him yet.
But that's true. But when you look at these stories, people don't realize how much attention factors into this stuff. It 100% factors into this stuff. For example, he's no longer the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam. But the dude was in a picture where he was either in blackface or with a KKK hood on. And he said, you know, I don't know which one is me. And everybody knew that the governor of Virginia was either in blackface or a KKK outfit. And he just waited until the next story came along and, whoosh, you know, just continued on with his life, just completely got away from this whole thing. So Chris Cuomo's fate is a big, giant question mark as of right now. Let's listen to some of you. Let's see what's happening in your world. You deserve to be spotlighted on a Share the Show Tuesday. And hopefully you're out there spreading the word about the News Junkie radio show. Here is Cerebrus with a dispatch.
Hey, C-Lane, Sean, and welcome back, Sabrina.
Thanks.
Hope you're feeling better. Hey, listen, I'm pretty sure that the most charitable person in the United States and possibly the world is someone we all know and love.
Who?
Mr. Trump. I'm quite sure.
Nah, he's one on the list.
Is. I mean, at least he claims he is. Anyway, you better double check those numbers because I'm sure it's Trump.
Unfortunately, I only had the top three, and it was Bezos, Bezos's ex, and who was the third? Bloomberg. Those are the three most charitable people. It's Giving Tuesday, so that's why that came up. Here's Swindlino with the dispatch.
Oh, to the guy that's talking about, you know, you got no business eating steak at a certain temperature, don't act like you wasn't a little bitch when you were a kid and your mom used to cut you up little pieces of hockey puck steak, bite sizes. Let that man Sean Watson eat his steak however he wants. By the way, breaking news flash, there's only one way to eat a steak, Sean. It's mid-rare. You nasty.
Now, I will speak to that because I definitely, as a child, would put ketchup on a steak, mostly because the person that cooked the steak was my father.
Yeah.
And he cooked them to a temperature that relieved them of all flavor and moisture.
What are you saying about B-Lane
yes,
right
now? Yes, that's so rude.
He's a much better cook now.
Yeah.
But he liked to call things that he burnt blackened. And so...
You can't use that.
And for the longest time... I thought that's what blackened meant when you had something blackened. Like people,
when you went to a restaurant, you were like, "Oh, you guys just burned the S out of it."
Or you go, their special is a blackened mahi sandwich. No, I don't want burnt mahi. I didn't know that was a seasoning spice. That was just a dad joke for my dad screwing up dinner.
The best way to eat any of this stuff, I stand by the point, is the way you want to eat it. There is no perfect way. This is all socially constructed crap. We've built this up as human beings. From what to eat and what to eat it with and what the experts are telling you, you should get stuff cooked like.
6-year-old me would have to chew on a bite of steak for so long
like,
that I would just take a fork full of ketchup and put it in my mouth just to introduce
your poor
moisture.
Father. No wonder why he didn't want you to go to New York.
What was he cooking it with, a flamethrower? How is B-Lane screwing this up
so
bad? Here's Smackerel with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, junkies?
Hey.
I hope y'all had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I did. Enjoyed my time off. Anyway, about the don't eat the meat that was
don't
whispered in
meat.
Your ear.
Don't eat the meat.
Came from a movie from the early 70s called Soylent Green. And, anyway, look it up. Maybe even watch it if you can find it.
No.
And don't eat the meat.
Let me see this.
Soylent Green is people. Ah!
I mean, I know Soylent Green, obviously, but is that from the movie Don't Eat the Meat? If the woman was doing a Don't Eat the Meat line from Soylent Green, that's even weirder that she was saying that walking by.
That's like, I guess you would have to gauge. I've never seen, is the name of the movie Soylent Green?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. So it's
old school. Somebody say don't eat the meat in it, though? I don't know if that actual line is in it. I think the lady was just crazy. She looked a little rough. What were you going to say?
You would have to gauge the age of somebody to go, hey, are they going to get this, or are they going to think I'm an absolute weirdo?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to quote a movie, you need to look at what she's having. Yeah, like, look at your target audience, and they're going to get that line, right? Like, you're going to, if somebody looks like they're born in the 80s or something, and the movies are around there, fine. Soylent Green, I don't even know when this movie came out.
Don't eat the meat.
L'chaim.
I'm not watching this whole thing.
Yeah. God, movies were so boring back then.
Long, long scene. I'll just take your word for it. Don't eat the meat. Fine. All right. You got it. Let's see here. There are a lot of people checking in today. Here is Champagne. I think we actually did that one. Here is Richie with the dispatch.
Hey, good afternoon, News Junkie.
Hey.
Just real quick, if you go online, you can look it up. I had the pleasure of working in fine dining for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to serve Japanese A5 Miyazaki Kobe beef.
Oh, sounds
good. And when you purchase it, you actually get a certificate. And in the center of the certificate is the cow's nose print. And then throughout the whole certificate is the whole history of the cow.
This whole thing is such a stage show, man. We're just eating animals. Some of them might be a little better than the other ones, but like you get the cow's nose print with your $100
steak. Really sad to me, actually.
How much was the one you
looked
up?
Why would you want a cow's nose print?
Do I want to know the cow's whole backstory?
I saw
more delicious.
I saw when we first brought this up, I found a place that has a location locally that sells a bunch of meat products, stuff like that, and they had a box of, what do we say?
A5?
6 8-ounce filet mignons.
All right.
So that goes out. That's about 3 pounds of meat for $295.
So about $100 a steak is what you're
$100 a pound.
$100 a pound for these steaks is what you're looking at. I think it's a little nuts. I think you would probably. Here's what I have to say. I think a lot of times when people go nuts about expensive whiskeys or expensive wines or champagnes, I think so much of this is a weird psychosomatic response where you think it tastes better, but if somebody told you beforehand that it was the cheapest option, you would have gone, ooh, that one's disgusting. It's gutter wine. And I think we're fooled by marketing or gimmicks, and sometimes that makes us, oh, this one is just the most delicious thing I've ever had. With steak, you might actually be able to tell the difference, but there's probably a cutoff point where the $40 steak doesn't taste that much different than the $100 steak with the cow's nose print and backstory. And we just get roped into all this. And then they tell you this is the right way to do it, this is the wrong way to do it.
I actually buy $200 a pound steak that comes with a video of the cow mooing that I can watch while I eat it.
That's so weird because I bought a 400 by the pound steak and it comes with actually the fetus of the cow. I'm supposed to raise it myself and then put together a collage before I murdered it to eat.
It seems like so much extra work to go
seems
through.
Seems really
this,
sad.
Just
almost cynical.
Slice the cow up, hit it in the temple with a bolt.
Okay.
Like you do. And slice the cow up, utilize all of the meat so we're doing the right thing. Give me a nice good cut of it the way that I want it, and don't give me any crap about it. I mean, that's the easiest way to handle all this stuff without saying, no, my way is the perfect way to do this. And everybody who wants their stuff prepared differently should be shamed. To hell with that. That seems like a stupid idea.
Yeah, mayonnaise for everyone.
When we come back, we've still got jury duty to get into, and we'll get into the Ghislaine Maxwell, whatever her name is. Her case is rolling on. Some pretty crazy stuff going on there. And a bunch of other high-profile cases rolling through the courtrooms in this country. It's like there was a huge backlog, and all of a sudden, all these big-name cases are going through. You know what one of the other ones is remember the cop who was arresting the guy, and she pulled out her taser, but it wasn't her taser, it was her gun, and she shot and killed the guy instead of tasing him. She's on trial right now, too. There's a lot of big cases going on. Still have the greatest story in the world and more from you. It's all on the way. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.
From
If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
Look at your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. Hope everybody's all right over on the YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook side of things. Hey, you can watch us whenever you like and chat along with the show over on YouTube. It's youtube.com/thenewsjunkie, facebook.com/thenewsjunkie, and twitch.tv/thenewsjunkie on all of those platforms is where you can peer into the studio each and every day and watch what's happening here. Congratulations to the people of Barbados. They have achieved independence of today.
Which is weird because I heard the Jim Colbert show talking about this. And Deb was saying that Prince Charles is going over there for a ceremony to make them independent.
Well, it's gonna be really awkward if that, like,
unless I heard that wrong, because
they booted the royal family out is essentially what they've done. And I don't know how many people actually know this, but there's a bunch of countries that are still sort of under the imperial rule of the British monarchy. And it's insane that in 2021 we have a monarchy. All monarchies should be abolished, every single one of them, whether it's in title only, which is kind of the situation they have in England with Queen Elizabeth and the royal family, of which I find about zero of them likable. And Queen Elizabeth II is in her final probably years here. And we could just call an end to all of this. But Barbados woke up this morning as a republic, and that is almost 400 years after the first English ship arrived on its golden shores, NBC News says. The tiny Caribbean nation removed Queen Elizabeth II as its head of state in spectacular fashion. They broke their ties with the British royal family, and with one of the and with it, one of the island's last remaining imperial bonds to the United Kingdom. Like, how many other places are under the royal family now? Let me see.
I'm sure there's a handful, but it's just it seems weird that, like, you know, all those years ago when the colonies wanted to you know, get their independence from Britain and become the United States, they had to fight a war over it. Whereas now they had like a ceremony in front of thousands. Where Prince Charles, like, gave a speech. They
say, see you later? What the hell's he doing there?
They honored Rihanna as a national hero. it's very odd.
Well, now they are...
I'm happy for him, but...
Independent republic, and Barbados is often on their own. People don't understand, like, the monarchy of Queen Elizabeth and the royal family is not just, like, an England thing or a United Kingdom thing. Here we go. Canada, also, like, money in these countries, currency and stuff, usually has the Queen's face on it, and it's still officially under rule of the monarchy.
It's not all of Canada. I thought Canada was also French.
No, I mean, you're talking about Montreal, I guess, right? Or Quebec, or... I mean, Canada is a country. The whole of the country is under British rule, essentially. It's an independent state, but it's still technically under the monarchy. So is Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Pakistan... And Ceylon? Where the hell is Ceylon?
Beautiful this time of year.
Also, Antigua and Barbuda. A lot of the Kokomo Islands are mentioned in here.
What about Pretty Mamas?
The Bahamas. Because and we've been there, seen the currency. It's got the queen on it. Belize, Grenada, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Solomon Islands, on and on and on. There's like 54 different member states that are part of this whole thing.
It also said that despite the independence...
Ceylon's not even a country anymore.
Oh. Barbados will remain a member of the Commonwealth, a political association
of 54
countries that have ties to the former British Empire. It's weird.
Yeah, this seems to be kind of ceremonial. They're just doing this to say, look... We're on our own, but technically there's still some ties going on here. Either way, congratulations, Barbados. A big day for those folks over there. I saw this today and I said, it seems like a lot of celebrities. Was Keira Knightley part of that cringeworthy
Imagine
video? Was she one of the celebrities in that?
I don't think so.
It was so long ago now, and there's been so many other celebrity cringe moments since it. It's hard to remember. But I thought maybe she was part of it. Maybe she wasn't. No. But so many of these celebrities end up getting COVID at some point in time. And she's the latest to get this. She said she's quarantining with her family. She said, like, I guess the whole damn family got this. She had to stop doing press.
Is this still Delta? Yeah, because
doesn't say.
Have they, I mean,
she just said she tested positive.
Omicron or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, man, if she's Omicron.
No, I don't think it's been, a case has been found in the U.S. yet.
No, not officially. Not as of yet. Canada has some cases, but she noted her daughters Edie and Delilah, 2 years old and 6 years old, were recovering quickly along with her husband. Klaxon's vocalist James Wrighton is her husband. They're all like asymptomatic. It's these useless cases. I don't even know why we count this stuff anymore. It's all these useless cases. It's like it wasn't in Australia where they said there was a handful of these Omicron cases, and they go, "Oh my God, we're on age."
No, it's Omicron.
We might have to shut everything down again. And they said we had 6 confirmed cases. All of them were asymptomatic. So you go, okay, you had 6 people that their lives changed zilch as a result of this? All right, shut it down. Everybody freak out. Let's start darting people with the vaccines to get that last 8% of folks who won't do this. I just think a lot of the celebrities have ended up getting this, and I don't know what that says about their interactions with people.
They're just like us.
Her movie Silent Night is the one that she has been out promoting.
Is that like a silent K-N-I-G-H-T?
No, it's Silent Night, okay. The way you would think. A comedy horror flick set during Christmas in the midst of an environmental apocalypse.
Fun!
That's, all right. Sounds a bit like you just grabbed a couple of plot points and put them together. We were filming scenes about the shops running out of food, yada, yada, yada. And I guess she tested positive. She's the latest celebrity to get hit with a positive test. All right, we are going to take a very quick break and then come back with all of these jury duty stories, including the we got names now that the pilot for Ghislaine Maxwell. Pilot that flew over on Jeffrey Epstein's plane is giving out celebrity names that were involved in this or that were at least flown over to the island by the pilot. We also have that taser gun mix-up case where the cop is facing charges right now. Jussie Smollett in court right now. They've chosen the jury. I'll tell you some of what was going on with his opening statements. And the other one is Josh Duggar or whatever.
Oh, the...
That trial is underway.
19 kids?
Yeah, the 19 kids and counting guy with the child pornography trial. That one is underway as well. So a lot of big cases going on now. We still have the greatest story in the world and all that, so stay where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because sometimes inviting amongst friends is exactly what you need to lower the volume on the voices in your head. Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. Real If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie. So keep your hands on the wheel, cause I'm going round the bend,
and the way that I feel. Jury duty coming up in just a moment, and there's some crazy stuff going on in courtrooms. Hey, if you miss any of the show, don't forget you can always catch up with us via the podcast. It's free for you to get. Get it wherever you get your podcasts and go to that app. Hopefully it's the iHeartRadio app and search for The News Junkie. Bam! Hit subscribe or whatever they're calling it today and you'll get the show each day when C-Lane uploads it. It's usually pretty shortly after 3 o'clock. If you missed the best of segments or the shows last week, you can go back in time and explore some of that. You'll see them as the greatest hits podcasts 1, 2, and 3 that are on the podcast feed right now. Some of you were asking about that, so that's out there and ready for you. I hope you're ready for this. Let's do it. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the one, the only, Mo DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. And if you're on in an accident, you can reach out to him. He is your attorney. He's ready for your call. After that accident, make sure you're safe, of course, and then 866-CALL-MO, 866-CALL-MOE, 866-CALL-MO. You can go to justcallmo.com as well. That's his website. This is not going to be something where you're put in a spreadsheet where it's really like just non-personal, where Moses is not going to know who you are. No, you're going to be working with him. He's going to be fighting for you against the insurance companies. He does it all the time. He does a damn good job at it. And he's ready for you. 866-CALL-MO. Thought we were all done with this name, but here it is back again in the headlines. And apparently this is a big case that's coming up to perhaps even the Supreme Court. They said Bill Cosby, a last-ditch attempt to lock up Bill Cosby on sexual assault charges is underway.
Oh, Rudy!
District attorneys from Montgomery County have appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the ruling that freed the 84-year-old from his prison sentence in July. Now, here's what happened, for those of you who are kind of confused and scratching your head about this. Despite being found guilty of drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand at his home in January 2004, Cosby's conviction was overturned after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled he was denied a fair trial. At the time, he had served more than 2 years of a 3 to 10 year sentence for aggravated indecent assault. Now, the reason for this was because there was a deal made, an agreement made by Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor in 2005. He said, Cosby, if you testify about this, we will not use this on the record in a case against you. They turned back on that promise, and that's why even though Cosby was convicted, he was released. But now they're going all the way to the Supreme Court and saying to the Supreme Court, you should overrule what this court did. And if the Supreme Court overruled it, Bill Cosby would go back to prison once again.
Wow.
I don't know the likelihood of that happening, but
I don't find it very likely. I mean, they broke made a deal and they broke a promise.
Yeah, they made a deal, and that deal prohibited them from using the information they gathered to do exactly what they did. So I think he's probably going to dodge a bullet there. A jury has been seated in the trial of former Empire actor Jussie Smollett. And the interesting thing here is opening statements from the defense and prosecution are two totally different worlds. One I would like to call the real world is that Jussie Smollett made up a completely unbelievable story about those Chicago MAGA hat wearing racists that chased him down and said homophobic stuff and attacked him.
Did those brothers ever get a charge against them?
They're part of the case against him right now, actually, these two brothers. And you know, then he even went up into his apartment and kept this tiny little rope around his neck that he said was a noose they put around him. So the whole thing is so stupid. And so
he should have talked to the Empire writers before trying to put this thing together.
The writing was okay. The writing was like, these guys attacked me. They were homophobic. They were racist. I mean, at the time, it was insane. You had even
he did the treatment, but someone had to go in and fix the details, you know, write the manuscript.
You had even Kamala Harris, current vice president, going, you see, Jussie Smollett's the best guy. It's unbelievable that this would happen. There are tweets still out there of her talking about this and just flat out wrong. And so you have the prosecution saying that he made all of this up, which is true. It's just undeniable when you look at the preponderance of evidence. And you have them saying he set this all up. He wanted to get more money from the people who created the show Empire. And he thought raising his profile in this way would be a good way to go, hey, by the way, I want to raise. And then his team, the defense, goes up for their opening statement. And they're like, Jussie Smollett is a victim. And now they're changing their case. Now they're saying these two brothers, Nene Uche is the defense attorney, saying two brothers attacked Smollett in January 2019 because they didn't like him and that a $3,500 check the actor paid the man was for training so he could prepare for an upcoming music video. So he's still going with this. He said it was a real crime and he's the real victim in this case.
I'm looking forward to that trial.
Probably not going to work out for him. They're done with opening statements, and I don't know how long this trial is going to go on for, but maybe not too long. Josh Duggar finds himself in trouble. 19 Kids and Counting star is on a trial today for child pornography charges. He faces up to 20 years in prison and fines of up to $250,000 on each count. That could be up to $500,000 because he's facing two counts.
This is the most appropriate jury duty ever. We haven't even left the courtroom.
No, I mean, we're staying in there.
We're so proud of you.
We'll stay right now in there. Ghislaine Maxwell, the prosecutor, has been up there describing how she lured young girls into this situation with Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutors say Maxwell preyed on the girls, some as young as 14, knowing full well what Epstein was going to do to them. The 59-year-old was setting young girls up to be molested by a predator, said the lead attorney. And they went back and forth on this. Maxwell's lead attorney was having none of it. Ever since Eve was accused of tempting Adam for the apple, women have been blamed for the bad behavior of men, they said. And women are often villainized and punished more than the men ever are, she said.
That's her reference, is Adam and Eve?
She went all the way back to Adam and Eve to hold that one up. And
didn't know she was so religious.
For a perfect score here, now Kim Potter is on trial.
Harry's sister?
Not related to Harry Potter, but she is the former Minnesota police officer who is using that wrong gun defense. It was an innocent mistake. I accidentally grabbed my gun instead of my taser. You could see in the video she shot this guy who she had pulled over and killed him. It was a fatal shooting. Dante Wright is his name. And Potter was a 26-year veteran of the Brooklyn Center Police Department. And the police chief also resigned 2 days later. There is no question, by the way, you're going to hear all kinds of lunatics say that. She pulled him over for an air freshener. He had an expired tag. She pulled him over and found that he had a warrant out for his arrest. At that point, the officer has to arrest him. He decided to try to flee while they were putting handcuffs on him and jump into his car and go to hit the gas. Now, the only thing that this jury is really going to be tied up considering is, did she really accidentally do this? And if she did, is she still liable in some way for his death? You know, or was this just some great accident or terrible accident? That's what they're going to figure out for Kim Potter as that trial rolls on. Get the buckets ready, friends. Get the mops out. The floor is going to be covered with humdingers when we come back. The greatest story in the world, just moments away. And trust me on this, you're going to want to say, I remember, I was there.
Don't eat the meat.
When they did this greatest story in the world, and I got hit in the face in the splash zone with one of those humdingers. That moment for you is coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
What is a Real Radio podcast?
It's Real Radio. On demand. Find your favorite show at realradio.fm.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
If you ever leave, I'm coming with you. Stuck to the gun that's stuck on your shoe. If you ever leave, I'm coming with you.
The greatest story in the world in just a moment. Again, you can watch the show. Go over to twitch.tv/thenewsjunkie or watch on YouTube or Facebook or wherever and stay with us each and every day so you can keep up on what's happening here on the show and around the world with the stories we get into. Right now, we're going to get into it and throw some humdingers right at your faces. So prepare said faces. Let's do the greatest story in the world.
Hold on, folks, because we're about to do the greatest story in the world.
And the trophy for greatest story in the world today goes to Carter Ferguson.
Right.
He's 5 years old, and Carter Ferguson is having a rough day. He's going viral, and it's all Santa's fault.
Santa.
Now, I told you, Santa Claus isn't coming to town yesterday on the show because there's a huge shortage worldwide and in the United States, certainly,
of
Santas. Oh. And there's just not enough people to get the job done. And people are being hard on
a lot of them got
Santa.
COVID. Yeah. Died.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they're a little more rotund, traditionally. Santa is probably a little bit more COVID.
Santa Claus was the poster child of the person who should have got their vaccine before anybody else.
This is why America's fat.
Yeah. So I also want to ask you this question here, okay? Did Santa do something wrong? All right, and we're gonna watch this, and I'll play it for you so you can hear this encounter in just a moment. It says, a New Zealand mall Santa Claus sparked outrage online. Outrage, I tell you. After asking a deaf child's mom whether she could fix his hearing, as seen in an alarming Facebook video. Well, we'll see if it's alarming. I kept up my smile, but wanted to get out of there as quick as possible, wrote the boy's mother, Bridget Ferguson, in the caption to the clip. And they said the insensitive incident occurred while Bridget was taking her 5-year-old son, Carter, who's deaf and communicates using New Zealand Sign Language, because, let me remind you, sign language is not universal for some reason. I wish everybody would have got on the same page so that in all countries, if you were able to do sign language, you could communicate with anybody.
Well, the information superhighway wasn't really a thing when they were trying to create sign language.
No, unfortunately, you have ASL and they have the NZSL.
Also, how do you get that message across?
New Zealand Sign Language. And so they went, Bridget and her 5-year-old son, Carter, to see Santa Claus in New Zealand. The minute-long footage begins innocently enough with Carter plopped on a stool next to St. Nick as the mom asks her son via sign language what he would like for Christmas. The eager boy signs that he wants a gold Iron Man figurine.
Whoa.
Carter, gold Iron Man. I mean, how much are these things? I got to find this.
Gold-plated.
Iron Man figurine. I didn't get anything that nice sounding when I was growing up. Oh, all right. Oof. Is this
how
it
much?
Right here? This, if this is the one he's talking about, this is $150.
Damn.
It's a little pricey, but I'm with Carter. Man. It's kind of cool looking.
It's a little pricey, but what's the cost of, you know, not having your hearing?
Oh, put a smile on Carter's face. It'll make his Christmas. $149 for this one. If this is it, I mean, there's probably many more options. So to the video in a second. But the eager boy signs he wants a gold Iron Man figurine. And Santa goes, huh? And the mom translates, obviously, the sign language. Then, in an epically obtuse move, Father Christmas turns to Bridget and, according to her captioning, says, "Is there nothing you could do to help him with surgery?" She says, "No, there's no need for that." Apparently not taking a hint, Santa doubles down. "Nothing you could do to fix it?" "There's nothing to fix," mom says. "We have sign language." Now, I'm guessing maybe Santa was talking about, like, should the kid be asking for a cochlear implant or something? And mom's like, "Nothing to fix. He's got sign language here."
I don't know. I guess, also, like, what was Santa thinking? I mean, if he really meant a cochlear implant, would you, do you have the funds to do that, Santa? Or did you for a second think that maybe the boy would believe you, that you could fix his hearing?
Well, let's see the actual video, because let's see how, like, awkward this was. They're being pretty hard on the old Santa in the New York Post article. All right, here's Santa sitting down with Carter. So she's, like, kind of, you know, signing to him and stuff.
Aww,
cute little kid.
Cute.
Yeah. "Thank you," says.
Santa doesn't know what to do with deaf kids.
Yeah, I think Santa is confused as hell as what's going on here.
I mean, but you would, as soon as you saw the mom signing to him, you would know that.
Yeah.
Is this not part of the Santa training program?
I don't know if anybody's communicated, like, "Hey, this is going to be a bit different for you because my son is deaf and it's going to be a little different than you're used to with the other kids sitting down on your lap." So she says, "Santa's asking what you like. What would you like for Christmas? What would you like Santa to bring?" And a gold Iron Man, Carter says. And she says to Santa, he's hoping for a gold Iron Man. You can't hear any of this. You just see him leaning in. "Is there nothing you could do to help with surgery?" She says, "No need for that." It's not picked up. "Nothing we need to fix. We have sign language." "Great. He's going to give you a book." Wait, what?
Oh. Okay, I'm glad that's what it was, because for a second there, it looked like Santa was about to lean over and whisper in the deaf kid's ear.
I'll get you.
Also, I didn't know that Santa was literally going to grab a book and hand it to him. I thought he asked for a gold Iron Man, and Santa's like, "You're going to get a book." I thought that's what they were getting at there. He's like, "He's going to give you a book." That ain't much of a book there. What is this flimsy thing? And then Carter says, "Thank you."
Oh, that kid is probably so confused.
Yeah, I think everybody in this was. I don't think Santa's, like, being malicious and trying to be mean to the kid. He probably just hasn't been in many situations like this. And maybe he was thinking, like, here's somebody even saying this. "These mall Santas need to be educated. Not surprised, though. I regularly see those uplifting videos of kids getting cochlear implants presented as this baby, his or her mother or father's voice for the first time. I mean, I try not to be judgmental, but I also immediately think about how this affects and miseducates the public who sees it. Most folks don't have positive deaf influences in their lives, and only the information they get is through videos like that, yada, yada, yada. Can we fix him?" Well, I mean,
yes, we can.
Here's the thing to anybody who comes at it from that perspective. It does help a lot of people, and people do use that. We all know somebody whose child just got a cochlear implant. And it's a wonder that they can pull off things like this. Now, it's a medical breakthrough that's almost impossible to understand.
Guaranteed crying during any of the videos in which they do the follow-up appointment and turn the cochlear implant on.
And now, just for the record, this is like routine. It's like routine to be able to bring a kid in there who can't, has either partial or, like, almost no hearing in one of their ears.
Though our friend was warned that because they haven't turned theirs on yet.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I guess the doctor is kind of used to this new culture now.
Set some expectations.
And goes, listen, I know you've seen Instagram videos where it's this big uplifting moment. 90% of the time, that is not the case. Usually the kids freak the F out.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I was surprised by it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, they've got to kind of set expectations. It's a breakthrough, and it's a really cool thing. And I think the Santa, maybe, you know, he didn't know enough about this, and now he's probably learned from this experience, and
He's fired.
I'm sure we'll take from this something else.
I don't know. I think some of these Santas have some job security right now because they're having hard times finding new ones.
Man, but there are a bunch of Santas who can speak sign language, and those videos go viral every year.
The weird thing about this is, I don't know, I'm not saying this mother's like this, but there are some people like this. When they have a child who might be deaf or who might have some other issues going on, there's parents who do that whole, well, there's nothing wrong with him thing. You know, we have sign language. We wouldn't have to do anything. It may well be that little Carter here can't get helped by cochlear implants. He could have a totally different situation medically going on that would make it so cochlear implants wouldn't do anything for him. But there are people in both the deaf community and also the visually impaired community, the blind community, who are against people getting things done to restore their hearing in the case of deaf people, and they say you're perfect just the way you are. I think that's so stupid. It's a really weird thing. You know, if you have a child or somebody else that can, again, I'm not saying that's the case for Carter, but if you have a child who can get improvement from things like this, it's a godsend. It's absolutely crazy. And that's one of those things moving forward that I hope we can do more and more on. I mean, visually, I hope we can do. Can't imagine being born without sight. I can't imagine even more so. I think I've told this story before, but I worked for a blind DJ. I've told many stories about working with him. He lives in West Palm Beach. His name's Keith. Great guy. And he wasn't born blind, but lost his vision in both eyes at a really young age. He's legally blind. He could see like shapes and stuff. And he had a parent come to him one time because imagine this. The kid of this parent was born with incredibly limited vision in one eye and had a dart accident with the other eye at a young age and lost his vision. And the mom was like, he's really broken up about this. You know, it's mentally really, really taxing on him. Can you give him a pep talk about how things are going to be okay or how he's going to get through this? And it was just like, if there could be these huge breakthroughs with hearing, with vision, with all these other things, those I like. Get the robots with the guns out of here. Get the AI out of here. Get all of that stuff out of the way. But if you can fix some of these things with new technology, that is awesome. Ford's on YouTube says, sorry, but no, words can be very damaging, particularly to kids. That effect is not a choice. Libby says, I mean, I was legally blind in first grade and it was overwhelming. I cried a lot. I couldn't watch TV. I got headaches. I didn't know you could see leaves on a tree. So many things about that experience make life just very much different. I do think, however, when you get somebody like Bumbling Santa here, he's not acting nefariously. He's not like, hey, old Deffy, get over here. He's not like trying to be a dick to this kid. He's just maneuvering a situation that's a little bit different. And you don't need to be so hard on everybody when they don't get the dance perfectly the first time. When we come back, we still got a lot to talk about. And we're going to hear from you next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know, you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and OrangeBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
From the...
Riding the daily roller coaster of viral news from the front row. It's the News Junkie.
You're never gonna get it, I'm a hazard to myself. I'm bringing to you easy, this is hell, this is hell. You're looking at a whisper and you pick up someone else. This is hell, yes, little hell.
Well, we haven't heard from the great Tiger Woods since he decided to go off-roading and bust up most of his legs. I don't know, he did some real damage in this accident when he was at some golf tournament. But he's looking good. I mean, he's back at a press conference today. Here he is, if you're watching. He looks good. He looks like the Tiger Woods you know.
Let's see them legs.
He, I guess, is trying to get back into golf. I think he's setting expectations. He's like, I don't think I'll be full-time on the tour ever again. But that's such a Tiger Woods thing to do. To go out there and be like, folks, you know, I'm never going to be this good. And then you do the thing that you said. Even I didn't think I could do it. I think that's a cool move. And maybe that's what he's doing. I haven't heard this yet. Let's hear some of this press conference. Tiger Woods today.
In Albany for the sixth time after a year off last year.
Yeah, it's been a long 22 months for all of us.
22 months.
Not able to play last year. We completely understand the reasons why with the pandemic, trying to keep everyone safe, and it was the right call. But it's exciting to have it this week. You know, this is our sixth time here, seventh time with Hero Motor Corp.
So I didn't even realize this. He got into that accident February 23rd of last year.
Okay.
February 23rd of the previous year? Right.
I thought it was this year. I thought it was earlier this year.
No, it was, I believe it was February 23rd of last year because he's talking about the pandemic. And that happened like right before everything went sideways, I think. Double check that, C-Lane, but I think it was February 23rd, 2020. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's now eking his way back out.
2021.
It was this year?
Okay. February 23rd.
In Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Los Angeles, February 23rd of this year.
Technically Rancho Palos Verdes. So.
But he's already back at it? He shattered his tibia and fibula bones in his right leg in multiple locations.
That is intense surgery. Well, he probably has a rod.
Yeah, he does.
In his leg
he has a rod in the tibia, and a combination of screws and pins were used to stabilize additional injuries in the ankle and foot. He banged the whole damn thing up there.
Did they ever determine what happened?
I don't even think they tested him. I'm pretty sure.
They grabbed the black box or something out of the car.
Well, they did, and they found that he had accelerated through the turn, and that's when people were saying, "Oh, maybe he fell asleep or whatever." But
I feel like if I fell asleep, I would not accelerate.
Well, if your foot just falls down on the gas pedal, like if you're sitting there, you think if you went to sleep, your foot would retract rather than push down?
Maybe.
I mean, in his case, I think they're saying that the other side of it.
Now I need some video game pedals.
Don't do this with your real car. Asleep.
I feel like it's always the way that it turns out that people, at least in the movies and TVs, which is based on real life, that they hit the gas even more.
Well, that's what he's saying.
It's a heavy foot to sleep.
Then they decided, these investigators, they're like, no reason to believe he's under any influence of anything, so let's just sweep that under the rug. And maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But I think they pushed away the toxicology tests in these situations, or in this situation in particular. So he did this big exclusive interview. He said he's making progress. He said, "I have so far to go." He claims, Tiger Woods says, "I'm not even at the halfway point. I have so much more muscle development and nerve development that I have to do in my leg. At the same time, you know, I've had 5 back operations, so I'm having to deal with that. So as the leg gets stronger, sometimes the back may act up. God almighty. It's got problems all over the place." And so he's saying, "Look, I'm on the way for my comeback, but don't expect too much out of me just yet." He last played the PNC Championship with his son, Charlie, and then had a 5th back procedure that kept him out. You guys ever known anybody who had a back surgery?
Oh, yeah.
I have known so many people who have gotten back surgeries. You know how many people I know that have gotten back surgeries that actually fixed anything? I think 0.
Yeah.
I have one. I have one person that, after many back surgeries and like 2 handfuls of medication, got this procedure done. I think it's called BioSpine, where they put like the...
like a robo spine in you?
Like a pod in his back, and then they connected to the particular nerves that he has such pain with, and then he has like a separate device that he charges up, and based on his pain or anything at all, like, he just adjusts it.
Oh, I want that thing.
And it's in there for the rest of his life, and it's the most incredible technology I've ever seen, and like in 10 years he goes and gets the battery replaced.
That is so weird,
and
man.
He's cut down his medication by like 80%.
I feel like what you were saying, Sean, where you know plenty of people who have had back surgeries but 0 that have fixed anything, probably these are situations in which if they didn't have the back surgeries, things would be much worse.
Maybe more
like
pain.
not able to walk or a lot more pain.
But if you have the expectation that you're going to have some sort of back surgery that they're going to do, and you're, "All right, hello, my baby," you know, you're just like taking on the world, kicking your feet out. Don't take that.
It's not enough. It's not enough of it. It's not enough.
Yes. Cut it off right at the perfect time. If you think you're going to get this back surgery done and you're just going to jump off of the doctor's table, the operating table, and start dancing around the operating room, you're not going to. A lot of people I know have had these, and they're like, "Damn, just perpetually bad." And that is another one of those fields. We're talking about the cochlear implants earlier, but there's a lot of other fields, and this is one of them, where they're making huge gains in the amount of knowledge and just the amount of technology that they can use to help them out. One of the craziest stories we've talked about in a while has an update to it. It's not that much of an update, but it's one of the stories on the radar, so worth mentioning here. You guys might remember the discussion of a man. He was 80 years old in Staten Island, and he was found dead in his apartment. And "I touch little girls" was written on his body. Definitely don't take that one.
You should put the two together.
I'm gonna say he. "He touches little girls" was written on his chest with what appears to be a black marker. And then "I take dolls in my room for girls aged 1 to 5 was also
written. How big was this guy that they had so much space to carve into him?
It was written all over. It was written in black marker.
Yeah. And they made an arrest in this case.
Oh, I don't know why I thought that they like.
I thought it was etched too, but I think we just went movie
well,
about it.
You might have been confusing that one with that Atlanta attack where they etched fat into the woman's chest or body. This was just written on this guy. And now Rene Ayarde, 28 years old, was taken into custody on charges of murder, manslaughter, and assault in this guy's death. His neighbors said he kept to himself and had extreme difficulty getting around.
That's interesting that they will still give an assault charge during...
When there's a murder charge,
yeah,
too?
So like, yeah. I mean, yes, technically he was assaulted before he was murdered, but...
You know this works with these prosecutors. Well,
it's so confusing.
They throw the assault charge in there in case they can't get a guilty verdict on the murder charge, and then you fall down the line. But as everybody knows, like, there's zero way you could find her guilty of murder and not of assault, right? So if you're guilty of murder, you're going to be guilty of the other counts that are falling down from there. In most situations, in most of these situations, that would be the case. Let's go to you on a Share the Show Tuesday and see what's going on in your world. You can send us a dispatch, search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. Here is Greaser Girl with a dispatch.
Good afternoon, News Junkies.
Hey!
So I'm listening to you guys on YouTube, and you just brought up the Santa and the little boy who was deaf. And honestly, I think I'm going to agree with Sean on this one. I don't think he was being malicious. I think that maybe he was just like simply asking maybe if there was anything that could be done. And who knows? Here's my thing is those secret millionaires are out everywhere. Who's to say that this mall Santa wasn't like, hey, is there anything we can do? And if the mom was like, yeah, there's a surgery, but it costs a lot of money, that Santa was about to be like, all right, kid, let's get some information and get you.
I don't know how many secret mall Santa millionaires there are.
Nah. There would have been a lot more cameras. The kid would have been mic'd up.
Yeah, I think that might be a little more rare to run into. I think the guy would just, he was didn't know what he was doing in the situation.
I hope that they're, you know. What was the rest of that shift like for Mall Santa?
Yeah.
I hope there wasn't a kid in a wheelchair in line. Do you want me to fix him?
I think one thing that people have to understand is people make mistakes. And there's this whole movement now. It's a very online, very Twitter kind of movement where they go, it's not my job to educate you. Well, yeah, sometimes it is. If you have a very special situation going on, sometimes you got to educate people on how to best handle you or your son or whatever. And give people a heads up.
Also, this woman has spent the last 9 years learning sign language. She's like, I mean, for it to all go to waste.
How hard do you think that is? How long does it take to learn sign language like perfectly, you think? Long time?
As an adult, it's much harder to learn it. So probably a lot quicker for children. But let's see. Like folks that become sign language interpreters, they're in school for quite some time.
Well, I guess the breakdown would be that it takes different people different amounts of time to learn anything like this. Wow, the gap that they give here is quite large.
I'm ready.
It may take from 3 months to 3 years to learn sign language.
I know, I think I remember hearing, because I had friends that took American Sign Language as their foreign language requirement for college. But I think if you went ASL, you had to do an extra class.
Yeah.
Like Spanish, you only had to do 2 semesters. But if I think it was ASL, you had to do 3, which so seemed weird to me.
You know, I was just thinking about this. If you are, I don't want to say the loser. If you find yourself as
not winning a lot,
not very employable. If you find yourself, if you've been told before you lack the skills required for this position a lot in your life. A smart idea would be to just take some time and learn ASL, learn sign language, because there's a lot of jobs out there for that now more than ever. I remember during COVID, sure. every damn press conference, there was somebody who was doing ASL.
Yeah, and then like a third of them were saying nonsense on the screen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the famous story of the guy at the funeral or whatever it was, where that the guy didn't know sign language. It was just gibberish in the background. So if you learned ASL, that's a good skill to have. It will make you employable, like just like that. Instantly. Yes, excuse me. The word escaped
me. I got you,
me.
Homie.
Distracted by about four things here. But 3 months to 3 years to learn sign language, according to thelanguagedoctors.org. And come on, if somebody knows thelanguagedoctors.org.
No, I bet these people aren't even really doctors.
I think they might be, but I can't check any further because I shut down the tab already. Here's Mo Manji, the realtor, with the dispatch.
Hey, guys. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. In regards to depositions, I remember I had to take one, and the attorney that was sitting on the other side kept asking me questions, and I kept saying, I don't remember, I don't recall. You know what? Let me check my schedule and my calendar. I don't remember. She got so mad that she asked my attorney and me if I had any kind of memory loss, dementia. And after my attorney was done laughing, he objected to that. Anyways, that's my story about that thing.
You got a lot of sounds going on, man.
What's happening around Mo Manji? Like, beautiful bird noise.
Is he a Foley artist?
It was distracting me from the obvious thing, the first thing you would think and go, Mo Manji was deposed?
Yeah.
What were you deposed for?
Give us the scoop.
All right, let's go to a funny name with a dispatch.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
So funny you can't hear him.
He's tiny.
Wagyu beef. The limited quantities that are actually imported to the United States,
right.
It's very rare that as many people claiming to have had it have actually had real Kobe or Wagyu.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things that you see out there from time to time. And it's just like I saw a chat having an argument about this earlier where they were talking about wasabi. And I guess in most cases, you don't actually get wasabi.
No, it's like an imitation wasabi. I've seen...
Spelled with a K.
The argument for... Kobe is like sort of the champagne argument where if it comes from Champagne, France, it is champagne. But a lot of people just kind of blanketly call sparkling white wine champagne. And they said the same thing, like Wagyu beef is a type of beef, but it's Kobe if it comes from a region in Japan.
Gotcha.
And it's not Kobe in other places.
But people will call it because the branding behind Kobe is a hell of a lot better and it sounds sexier. And they could charge
because
more
he played
for
the Lakers, or
Is it Kobe or Kobe?
How do you... I have no idea. It's called. I can't afford it all that much.
Which one is it?
Kobe Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Kobe?
No.
Kobe beef.
I don't know. It's one of the two of those. Let's keep going here. Let's get one more in before we wrap things up for the day.
Brian on Facebook says, "Sign Dylan up for ASL."
Here is. It's not a terrible.
How do you
idea.
Say weed in sign language?
Technically, he is employable and does have a lot of skills. It's just that making New York water bagels, or sign spinning, or shucking oysters, or...
All three.
All for a very limited...
Selling coats.
Yes. It was at Burlington.
Not even selling, probably just hanging the coats up on the shelves.
Oh, here is, let's see, Willie with a dispatch.
The great steak debate. All right, I'm not going to judge you based on what kind of steak you eat. If you want to eat it medium well, if you want to eat well done, I don't care. I personally like it raw. Drenched in blood and still twitching a little bit. But on the flip side, if I owned a restaurant and I was the chef and somebody came in and asked me for a well-done steak, yeah, I would say no, because guess what? I'm the chef. I'm running the show. You want a well-done steak, go home and make it yourself. I won't look down on you, but
how
I ain't
weird.
Gonna give it to you, because I think that's defiling a delicious piece of meat.
We don't do this with anything else. If somebody came in and said, hey, I want my chicken well done, you wouldn't go, and I'm not doing it. I refuse.
Well, if you ask for chicken medium rare, they'd be like, you're going to diarrhea in our restaurant.
I'm not asking for, you know, I'm not asking for anything crazy. I'm asking you to cook the thing that I'm ordering the way that I want to order it. And I don't think there's many things out there like this resistance from chefs to give you what you're ordering. Like, they would come out of the kitchen and go, I'm sorry.
At really high-end places?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, they will.
Yeah, and they would go, I can't do it. I refuse to serve it to you this way.
It's
just weird.
If I went to a really high-end restaurant with a top name chef, and I ordered an expensive piece of meat or fish, and I said I want it well done. I want it overcooked.
Yeah.
And then I cut through the center, took a picture of it, put it on Yelp. Well, yeah. They're going to think that's how they cook
it. It's insulting to the chef.
How often does this happen? It's not insulting to the chef if that's what you want. Why?
Because the chef gets insulted.
It's what they want.
It's the chef's special. It is their job. It is what they have trained to do, and it is to make the food the best way possible. That's your best way possible.
That's not somebody else's best way possible.
It's the majority.
Who cares about the majority? The majority is not paying the bill for the thing that you order. You are paying the bill.
At their restaurant.
At a restaurant. And the chef is going to act like he's some sort of, or she is some sort of artiste back there.
They are.
And you can't order it cooked another way. No. Just because you like it one way doesn't mean that that's the way for everybody. Imagine if you had this in line with bacon. You know how many different ways people like bacon or toast? That's why it's a meme all the time on social media. You know, pick the number, which is the way you like your bacon or something. Somebody came in and said, I want my bacon completely burned. Well, I refuse to do that. I don't want to take this pork that I have here and this bacon, and I don't want to ruin it and sully it so much. I'm not going to give you the burned bacon. No, they would make the burned bacon.
What if someone called in?
Yes, they would. Of course they would.
Who makes burned bacon?
Denny's. Go to any of these places. You don't think you can request
you
to get bacon?
Crispy?
What do you think crispy bacon
extra
is?
Extra crispy?
It's burned for the most part. You could get this stuff at these places.
It's like someone is calling in or sending a dispatch and is like, you know, I've been listening to your radio show for a long time, but I just don't like the way you do it. Can you guys please play some music? And it's because of their ears and the way they like radio, you change it up.
Not at all.
You're the chef of this.
No, but that's not at all the same. This is a thing where you order up something that's a menu item and you say, okay, now that I've selected that, let me customize it. Most places let you customize it in some way. Now, there are things they're not going to do. They're not going to let you get something that's unhealthy, like uncooked fish or chicken or whatever. Of course, there's a reason to set that rule. But I don't, as far as I know, maybe you guys know this. I don't know this. I've never heard this before. Is there any danger in overcooking it and cooking a steak
choking
too much?
Hazard. Right. Choking hazard.
Do you think that somebody should be allowed to go into a poke restaurant and say, I'd like my fish cooked?
Yes. If they have all the equipment and stuff to do this,
then
they
get a private chef. I mean, there's like...
This is not being that much of a pain in the ass.
Sounds like it.
You guys are really overshooting the runway here. This is not being that much.
My friend said, people ask to cook fish. People ask me to cook my fish at the poke place, and I deny it because it's not our business model, and it's not how we want our food going across the counter.
Isn't that totally different than already having a business model where you cook things and you cook the items? You're just like, no, I refuse to leave it on a little longer than I want to. Not than the customer wants it to be left on, but than I personally want to leave it on
for. That is their business model.
No, you guys are both wrong on this. You've never been more wrong. This is that moment.
This is a good discussion.
Waft it up if you can.
Waft up what? The overcooked steak smell?
When we come back, the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Tuesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Watch the action live on Facebook or YouTube. This is the News Junkie.
Dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Tuesday. C-Lane's take was so bad that his body is rejecting it right now.
Oh, come on.
That's what's happening. He's just fighting back the bad take.
This weather's insane.
No, I just got a little piece of almond logged. Trying to get it out there.
Like in the throat hole, which is not the proper medical term.
Not the breathing one. The eating one.
Yeah.
The swallow hole.
The second pipe.
I love when you do get something down the wrong pipe and you're like in the process of choking out. and people are trying to offer up advice for things that you should do. Yeah. And you're like,
that's like when you have the hiccups.
Yeah.
Here are 45 different ways you cannot get rid of the hiccups, but look ridiculous doing it in public.
But with the hiccups, at least you can get through it. With the other one, you feel like you're choking to death.
Somebody told me a hiccup remedy the other day that I had never heard before. And I've heard this as a remedy for other things and used it. But somebody told me to eat a spoonful of mustard.
Hell no.
As a hiccup remedy.
I feel like it's somebody trolling you, trying to get you to eat mustard. I mean, I would do it in certain situations. We had that thing that was like 100% guaranteed this hiccup straw will shut down the hiccups. And Courtney got the hiccups, a piece of junk. Absolute piece of garbage. Didn't work for nothing.
I mean, Sean's trick, like our first year of meeting each other, I remember there was a hiccup moment at the bar, and you're like, all right, look at me. Now breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. And all of a sudden, they were gone. And I used it on every other person I ever met with hiccups, and they thought I was a effing magician.
It only works sometimes, though, I think.
If they're concentrating.
I think some of these things only work the first time.
Yeah, because then your body knows. I don't know.
Well, you're attracting them.
Yeah.
Like a couple years ago, you know, before this was on the table, I had the hiccups bad, and Asher told me she was pregnant.
What?
And
are you? Is that happening? Is that a thing?
No.
Oh, I thought you announced it yesterday when I was out.
That would be a real dick move for
would
me.
Be awesome. If you did that and then you didn't even reiterate what she got here, just brutal.
No,
man.
I
just got so excited. That's for right.
That's what I exist. Said before this was ever on the table. She had told me this,
mm-hmm.
and it distracted me so much and freaked me out that, and like, all logic in my head, like, I've seen her drinking wine all night. That's not even a factor, but I'll tell you what happened. Hiccups, gone.
Just like that. She's going to have to one-up that each time, though. A little more shocking, a little more shocking.
You're pregnant.
All right, let's do the stories that didn't make the cut. Brought to you by our friends over at Nations Trucks. Love those folks, and you will, too. You can find the truck of your dreams right now on their lot. Check them out in Sanford. Go to nationstrucks.com and start your journey to a badass truck right now. Let's see here. A woman lit a gaming machine on fire after losing and was shot by a fellow gamer who couldn't play anymore. All of this happening in Houston, Texas. A bad loser. She poured lighter fluid on the machine and lit it up.
She had that on her purse?
She had that with her. She was ready to go, I guess.
Don't even tell us what gaming machine it is?
No, it just says gaming machine, which I thought was a little strange. The metaverse. Real estate is piling up record sales. And you know what? That's it. Let's wrap it up. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. The printer didn't want to print it out, so I'm going off of this
The 3rd of November.
Today I Learned, sponsored by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away. Let's just go right to the end of it. Today I Learned this band.
Aerosmith
and Run DMC. Either one of them would have been just fine as a guest. Today I Learned, Run DMC was totally against doing a remake with Aerosmith for Walk This Way. They initially read the lyrics and called it Hillbilly BS and refused to do it. The famed producer Rick Rubin persuaded them, and the rest is history, it says. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow for the Monsters of the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show is coming up next. It's followed by A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan and Real Laughs. It's all on the way, and it's all right here on Real Radio.